gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
What? I was not sexually harassing Nathan. I was just smiling.
Uh-huh.
Good morning.
Were you sexually harassing his girlfriend?
No. I don't. Not that I know. You know what? Here's how would I know. Look what I left on just to show you that Mama said perhaps a little too much excitement for a weeknight. I woke up, and I have two watches on. Meaning I didn't take off the one I went to bed in, and then I put a new one on. Which one would you prefer?
Well, what time zone are they set for?
The same. And you said I have ridges on my face.
You just woke up, didn't you?
No. No. Good morning, everybody.
I feel like you have less makeup on today than you usually do.
I do. Oh, no. I'll have to get right on that.
Where's the makeup department?
Makeup!
It's horror... it's Horror Fridays, everybody. Come on. Look alive. May Lee in hour number three.
Yep.
Sexy yes. Liberal John Fugel saying for Fridays with Fugel saying next hour.
Fridays with who?
Saying...
Did you start drinking for the podcast already?
I did not. We heard the Happy Hour podcast.
Smell her cup.
No, it's fine. It's just coffee. Oh, it's going to be a hard decision for a Libra. Which watch do I leave on? Okay. Here's my point.
One of them is a little more femme. One's a little more butch.
She's going to wear that femme one later on with a dress for the Happy Hour podcast.
It's butch and gay, Autumn.
Exactly.
By the way, did you see our Twitter feed yesterday, all these suggestions for Butch Otter's original name? Very, very funny.
Oh, yes. It was very funny.
Right.
Well, and you said his first wife's name was Gay?
Gay.
Right. Yeah. All right.
Butch Gay Otter. Butch and Gay
Manly,
Otter.
Manly, I think somebody thought his original name was Manly Mink. There was a lot of different suggestions.
Sure.
All right. Okay, so what was I saying?
I
now
don't
you
know.
Threw me off. Okay, Happy Hour podcast. Very, very exciting.
Yes. Sorry.
The return of Carlos Alzraki and Jim Ward
yes.
for the Happy Hour podcast. It'll be available audio tonight, video tomorrow, as always.
Yep.
Because that was the original free heroin that we offered, but that was only in audio form.
Yes.
Right.
Now you get to see all the debauchery. Yes, Jim Ward was that's why he wasn't here Monday. He was doing a looping job,
yes.
as they say in the business.
Yes.
And he was, as they say in the business, released from it today.
Apparently he was doing a German accent.
Oh. Yes, he was doing a German looping job, which is quite a speciality.
I'm sure his German accent is a lot better than Jessica Lange's in this season of American Horror Story.
He's a... Oh, gee, of course you go there, Chris.
Sorry.
He's obsessed with her.
All right. And then Travis Bone, what are the upcoming bookings? Who's next week? I forgot.
Next week we are finalizing still.
Finalizing, as they say in the business.
The week after, the return of Frangela.
Frangela. Squee, okay.
Then the week after that would be Halloween week.
Elvira.
Elvira.
Squee, okay.
And then we're also going to be taping Jen Kirkman.
Squee.
That week.
All right.
So I've had some... So Kathleen Madigan is doing a lot of traveling right now.
Squee. Oh,
this
that's
is her.
Squee.
This is her period.
It's her busy season.
Yeah, this is her time. Yeah. And I guess she spends a lot of time in the Midwest rather than coming all the way back here.
Right.
She stays with her family back there.
Oh, makes sense. I thought her family was in the Villages, which is having a bit of a...
Maybe they winter there.
Oh, are the Madigans the people that winter?
They might.
As a verb? Okay.
Now that she's made it big time, you know.
Right. I'd forgotten that.
So
right.
They're
from the Villages where they're having a lot of public sex. We need to grill her about that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
My friend time. Chris's parents live there, too.
Yeah. Remember the scene? What's the scene when in the movie they go to Sex Addicts Anonymous and then they go out of the meeting and everybody's, you know, in the bushes and on the lawns outside the Sex Addicts movie?
What is that?
The Sex Addicts meeting. I'll think of it.
Was this one for one of those educational
I'll think
videos
of it.
That
someone,
you watch?
Someone call Mama. Help me. Help Mama.
Was it on Cinemax?
No, it's a big...
Late at night?
No, it's a big... I do not watch Cinemax skin flicks late at night, Travis Bone. I beg your pardon.
I know what you have on your channels up there. I have a house set for you.
Really? Well...
There's a lot of HLA on Cinemax at night.
Mm-hmm. You went a little deeper than I do. All right. By the way, I love this. So, Dean, we had Dean Obadala on yesterday.
Yeah, yes.
Who is a comedian and a Muslim.
He is a Muslim.
Right. I just like to say it the way the right-wing callers pronounce
sure.
it, so they understand.
Yeah.
Anyway, but so he obviously chimed in on the whole Bill Maher, Sam Harris debate. So somebody emailed both of us and said, sorry, dude, Bill Maher and Sam Harris are without a doubt correct. Islam is the motherlode of bad ideas. You and Stephanie Miller are totally disingenuous on the show. As a liberal myself, I can't stand to look the other way. Never badmouth bad ideas, slobbering liberals like you and Miller. Dean wrote him back, Tom, thanks for your email. It really made me laugh. Are you a comedian? If you are, please put me on your email list. And yes, Islamic law is coming to America soon, so you better yell the BLTs you can now, because soon it will just be LTs.
Okay. That's funny.
That's funny.
Very good, Dean.
Blades of Glory.
Stick that
man. Was it Blades of Glory? Were there,
yes. Thank you.
Mungan Cakes.
See, you
tweeted
can't.
That.
You can't for very long pretend that I'm wrong about things. In this day and age, people.
Because saw that
instantaneously,
movie?
Someone right will tweet or instant messages or whatever the kids are doing.
Well, that's where this came from.
We love you, Denver. City by the Bay.
That's right. He goes to a Sex Addicts Anonymous meeting, and then when he comes out. Everybody's boinking in the bushes and on the walls and stuff. Okay. All right. Thank
Mungan
you.
Cakes.
See?
Tweeted that.
When Mama says, oh, Mama.
People
I've got backup immediately. You cannot get in a bar fight with me.
Okay. It's kind of like you have designated drivers all over Twitter.
Yes.
I do. I have, like, my information Ubers. They are my information
they are.
Ubers.
They are.
And you assume that I'm wrong about something, and I generally am not.
Well, it's... We never vetted that, so that could be completely wrong. You just agreed with it just to sound correct.
I was thinking that big, you know, big movie comedy with Will Ferrell. Exactly.
What's it about?
Oh, someone else tweeted, I think the movie Steph is referring to is A Dirty Shame by John Waters.
No. No, it is Blades of Glory, which I loved. Okay. I love Will Ferrell because, why? Because he loves us.
He's a fan
he
of
listens
show.
Every day.
Yeah.
That movie is hilarious.
And he came up to me at the gym and said, I love what you guys did on the show this morning. See? Which means he doesn't just listen, he watches because he recognized me.
Right.
But what I don't get is why didn't he get his phone number so we could book him
because
on the show or the Happy Hour
appropriate.
Do it.
That's
do
not
it next
appropriate
time. Do
to
it.
Do that.
If
do
he's it. A fan of the show.
If he's a fan of the show, he's listening. Now, Will, call us, please.
Call me, Will.
Yes.
Call us.
Call, email him, travis@stephaniemiller.com.
There you go. And,
I'm going to get a bunch of emails.
See, this is how this is going to work. Right? Like, when Michael McDonald was here last week, we were just working him to bring Sandra Bullock in next. Because she is a potty mouth.
Yes.
As Cordy
Taylor. Oh, she's going to be
And I was like,
fun.
Just bring Sandy. Just bring her along. How much would we
You know what she was?
If he just came in like, oh, I brought Sandra Bullock.
You know what her first big job
yeah!
was?
Yeah!
Her first big job was the Bionic Girl.
Yeah.
I love the Bionic Woman.
She was
the Bionic Girl.
As any Junior Dyke did. I loved.
Exactly.
I wanted to be Jamie Summers.
Sandra Bullock was her sidekick in the reunion movies.
Oh, it's too much to take. By the way, so texted us yesterday because we were doing happy hour stuff.
Oh,
speaking
man.
Of Will Ferrell, Saturday Night Live, Jan Hooks
and
died.
I had just gotten the breaking news thing on my phone when I texted you. I'm like, wow.
Yeah, at age 57.
Yeah.
So
young.
And they're saying, of course, there's a lot of speculation that she died of an undisclosed illness is all that her agency said.
I haven't heard anything past that.
Yeah.
I haven't heard any rumors or anything.
I mean, and who knows? You, what did you say it was described a different way? Oh, you said it was described as a long...
Yeah.
I don't know, because, I mean, someone yesterday said, was it depression? Because you wonder, you know, was it something that... Because nobody... at least I hadn't heard she was sick. But anyway, it's so sad. Everybody... You remember that, speaking of... Will you know, of Will Ferrell, but that whole incarnation of SNL, just her Hillary Clinton and her Tammy Faye Baker were...
Oh, my gosh.
She's,
she's
one of the best people to come out of SNL ever.
Yeah. She was on Designing Woman, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
She was on
2 years.
The last couple seasons.
Which I also love.
And she also played Jan Krakowski's mother in 30 Rock.
Oh, I did not know
that.
I did not know that. Anyway, sad. I'm sure there'll be more information, but that was very, very sad. Yeah. Okay, and you were saying,
and
how many Designing Women are we?
She was in Pee-wee's Big Adventure as the tour guide at the Alamo.
Oh, that's right. I saw the tweets in it.
There's no basement at the Alamo. These are all Alamo residents.
I saw that on Twitter a lot.
Pedro and Inez. Inez is holding a clay pot that she seems very proud of.
He's making adobe.
Pedro is making an adobe. Can you say adobe?
Oh, what's with losing all the comedians? What is going on, people? As Marvin Gaye would say.
There are thousands of uses of corn, all of which I will tell you about right now.
Wow, that is a creepy memory you have.
You know, I loved... she was Tina.
Wow.
Tina the tour guide. Oh. And I remember that, because that was one of the funniest parts of the movie.
I don't know why the tour guide is always a funny role. Remember, who was it, Bonnie Hunt? And we're walking. And we're walking. I don't know why, because I made the Marvin Gaye reference. This is a little sad story, isn't it, about the state of Detroit? Man willing to trade Detroit home for an iPhone.
Oh. Well, yeah, there are homes in Detroit you can buy for a dollar. You know, they're kind of decrepit and probably should be torn down. But
yes, a famous actress friend of mine said, whenever I have to cry for a movie scene, I just think of Detroit. I just hear Marvin Gaye songs. What's going on?
It's making a comeback.
What's going on?
Is it?
Well,
A man who had trouble selling his Detroit home, willing to trade it for an iPhone 6 or an iPad.
Oh. At least he's flexible.
Yeah.
Right.
But how's he going to be able to afford the calling plan?
Right. He initially had put the home on the market for $5,000. However, with the home in poor shape and $6,000 in back taxes owed, it has not had any takers.
Okay.
Wow. Actually, he may need to give someone an iPhone for them to take the house. Yeah.
Free with purchase.
Was that always the joke about White Sox tickets? Like, you know, somebody smashed my windshield and left White Sox tickets. Okay.
Well, it's kind of sad because, you know, Google Street View. Some people have posted tumblers of, like, Google Street Views of Detroit of the same thing as the years go on, and things are just falling down. That's depressing. Yeah.
Well, hey, listen, let's talk about ISIS and Ebola when we
get
back. Cheer up, everybody.
There's some good news.
It's Friday. Okay, 17 minutes after the hour, we roll along on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
There's another funny tour guide.
Yes.
Phil Hartman in So I Married an Axe Murderer. He plays a tour guide at Alcatraz, and he says, welcome to Alcatraz. My name is John Johnson, but everyone here calls me Vicky.
Dearly departed SNL members.
Yes.
Oy. All right, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll-free from anywhere. John in Tennessee, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, John.
Hey, how are you doing today?
Good. Go ahead.
Good. Well, I've got an interesting fact, and I've looked this up. Every 6 to 8 weeks prior to a midterm election, since 1980, the media has created this fear of a pandemic or a virus coming to our town. This year it's Ebola. The last midterm, it was H1N1, which is swine flu.
Well, you know, Jackie was at CNN then, John, and she was talking about that yesterday. Mm-hmm. Like, I can remember covering SARS and bird flu and swine flu and all of that stuff.
But they always happen 6 to 8 weeks prior to a midterm. Only during the midterms do you see it come out. Because prior to that, I went back and did some research, and I even found all the way back to 1980, this has been happening.
Interesting.
And, here's a good way to keep people from going out in public and voting.
Hey, that's an interesting conspiracy sausage.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right, John. It is. Jackie puts it in perspective, and we'll have a journalist, Hora May Lee, here as well.
Sure.
But yeah, they've covered a lot of this stuff because you remember, like, all of them are going to be the thing that kills everybody on the planet, right?
Yeah.
The good news is the Dallas hospital treating the sheriff's deputy who went into the apartment where the Ebola victim that died was living said he is showing no signs that he's also infected. They also said none of Duncan's relatives have shown any sign that they're infected. But that's an interesting. Well, you know, interesting. He brings it up because we were talking about AIDS yesterday, and pardon you. Oh,
I forgot.
Look at you. Are you auditioning for a toothpaste commercial? Yeah. Did you just smile? Now, with more Ritson, the Stephanie Miller Show.
That was my horror alarm.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Anyway, but we were saying that because it was the same thing. There was so much fear, not knowing how it was transmitted. It was...
Sure.
But, you know, I think the other big thing about that is that we used to talk about at the time, if the Reagan administration hadn't ignored it, or hadn't been that unspoken thing that was actually spoken in the movie about, oh, it's killing the right people, who cares?
Right.
And this is the danger. I think Charlie Pierce talked about this initially, about the danger of going, oh, who cares? It's brown people in Africa a zillion miles away.
Yeah.
Well, that's why we should care, because it's going to spread, and if you don't do something about it, like AIDS, I mean, AIDS did not need to be the epidemic that it was.
Exactly.
It really did not.
And still is.
In fact, the CDC, top CDC guy, Tom Frieden, said that the Ebola outbreak in West Africa is unlike anything since the emergence of HIV/AIDS. And he said a fast global response could ensure that it does not become the next AIDS, as he called it. Obviously, the presidents of Liberia, Sierra Leone, and Guinea appealing for more aid to help fight the disease. Here he is.
I will say that in the 30 years I've been working in public health, the only thing like this has been AIDS. And we have to work now so that this is not the world's next AIDS.
Yeah, I mean, what was? Why do I keep forgetting the name of the movie?
The Normal Heart.
The Normal Heart that
was just
aired on HBO.
Yes.
Because I'm thinking of it and the band played on. There's been other ones, but the one that was just on HBO that was the Larry Kramer one.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I mean, I will never forget that horrible scene where, you know, he gets called to the White House, the Reagan White House, and is like, oh, my God, they're finally going to do something about this.
Yeah.
And the guy just goes, you normal guys can't get this, right, from, like, hookers and stuff. That's all they wanted to know.
Yep.
That's all they want. They didn't want to do anything about it. It's like, oh, good, it's just killing gay guys. And that's, but then that's why, you know, and many of us lost loved ones to it. And so it's, but this is exactly what Charlie was kind of, was trying to say, that it's like, there's that, not just on the right, but you know what I mean, on that instinct on the right, like, who cares?
Mm-hmm.
Not our problem. You know, poor brown people,
yep.
however far away. But this is what happens with infectious disease, is it spreads. And now it's terrible that, oh, well, now we need to help because now it's on our shores,
yeah.
You know. And obviously his, the Ebola patient that died, I mean, his family is saying one of the things that, you know, is obviously another issue in terms of our society, racism and income inequality. He said because he was a poor black guy with an accent,
with
no health insurance, that he was treated differently, and
the hospital denies that.
Yeah, you know. I know. But at any rate, okay.
And the CDC denies that as well.
The Health and Human Services Secretary yesterday.
I don't think we're making a claim that anything is 100% secure. But what's most important is we know how to contain.
Pardon me. What are you? You're calling audibles. What's the matter?
Oh, I thought I'd marked 3 as Ebola, but it's not.
No, okay. You did not.
All right.
You know
then.
What? You are also still
drunk.
Early for the podcast today. Okay. Anyway. Oh, by the way.
What?
Speaking of the gays.
Oh.
Because what we were talking about. This is.
By the way.
Really horrible news. You know, I do not like infighting in the Republican Party.
By the way.
You know, I want them to reunite right before the midterms. What?
There were some same-sex marriages in Nevada yesterday.
Hooray!
So,
woot!
Yay!
Woot! Okay. All right. Mike Huckabee says he will leave the Republican Party if they do not actively oppose a same-sex marriage.
Go! Be free!
No. Okay, go ahead.
A lot of Republicans, particularly in the establishment and those who live on the either left coast or those who live up in the bubbles of New York and Washington, are convinced that if we don't capitulate on the same-sex marriage issue, and if we don't raise the white flag of surrender and just accept the inevitable, then we're going to be losers. I tell you, Tim, it is the absolute opposite of that. Mm-hmm. And if the Republicans want to lose guys like me and a whole bunch of still God-fearing, Bible-believing people, go ahead and just abdicate on this issue, and while you're at it, go ahead and say abortion doesn't matter either.
Right.
Because at that point, you lose me. I'm gone.
Oh, boy.
Oh.
Oh, no. You're right. You're right, Elsa. Go be free. They're disrespecting you, and you do not need that. Form a whole other splinter Republican Party, please. Stand on your principles. Don't let... Look, it's scary homo gays that are shaped like Ebola threads coming for your children.
They're squiggly.
They're squiggly and gay. Run!
Be free,
Mike. Go, Mike.
Born free to follow your heart.
Do it. Take a bunch of those crazy bastards with you. Go!
Free.
Look, there's Tony Perkins running right behind you.
I never saw that movie. Are there lines that run free?
Yes. Elsa goes free. And that's what it'll be like when Mike Huckabee leaves the Republican Party. It'll be a tearjerker for sure. Bye. See ya.
Take a whole bunch with you.
29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show. We'll be right back.
Stephanie Miller.
Hey, how come you ain't got boobs? You like a runner or something?
This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by Citrix GoToMeeting, the proven solution for meeting and collaborating online. And if you sign up for GoToMeeting before October 10th, you get another Citrix product free for 6 months. Visit GoToMeeting.com right now and get started. All right, 34 minutes after the hour of the Stephanie Miller Show, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll-free from anywhere. Fridays with sexy liberal John Fugelsang coming up at the top of the hour.
Yay.
And Horror Fridays with journalist May Lee in hour number three. Very exciting. Oh, and on the Happy Hour podcast tonight, Carlos Alzraki and Jim Ward. It's a twofer.
Well, don't say tonight because they're not going to
be able to sorry.
Get... Oh, I'm
sorry. Yeah. The audio you can get tonight.
Yeah. Yes, you
right.
can.
All yeah. right. And the video available tomorrow.
Yes. Yeah.
That takes longer. That's horse-drawn.
Well...
There are little Flintstones animals that have to put that together.
It's a much larger file.
It's like the garbage disposal and the vacuum.
It's a much larger file.
That's right.
Okay.
All right. Oh, dear. So we were just talking about Mike Huckabee threatening to leave... the Republican Party over marriage equality.
Uh-huh.
Oh, dear. Not good headlines. West Virginia won't fight challenge to ban gay marriage. Oh, boy. Nevada State Senator Kevin Atkins proposes to boyfriend.
Yep.
Run, Mike Huckabee, run. Run like the wind. Oh, that's the original fat Huckabee. Okay.
Oh, I think he's back to fat again.
Is he?
Yeah.
I haven't watched the Fox show. That's my favorite Christmas card ever. Yes, Nevada State Senator. Right, he was inspired by the ruling, and he proposed in front of everyone in public to his boyfriend. Right, very exciting.
Evil, my boyfriend.
Oh, there might be one place for Mike Huckabee. North Carolina legislators will attempt to stop same-sex marriage.
Yeah.
I can get him. My mom has an extra room in Charlotte. She makes great homemade vegetable soup. She probably already watches Huckabee. She's a Fox News fan.
She is. Doesn't her bird masturbate to...
That bird, something, he went missing. I don't know what happened to that bird. There was a bird that masturbated to Fox News.
He went missing kind of like Sadie? Sadie Flagelman?
Sadie Flagelman, yeah. I don't know what happened to the bird. The bird apparently went to live on a farm.
Uh-huh. Okay, where he could run free.
Yeah, I think. That bird was a freak. Yeah, I had totally forgotten about that.
Yeah.
That is not a made-up story. I saw it with my own eyes.
Back when Glenn Beck was on Fox News.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that bird masturbates.
Yeah.
That was...
Rub itself up against the
chain?
Yeah,
well, there was it was a colorful chain, and he would kind of, like, just straddle it and sort of, like, you know, when Glenn Beck would really get going on a good conspiracy thing, you'd be like, and then you'd hear a little, like, birdgasm, and it was just, I was like, Mom, seriously? Can you cover that or something?
Huh.
Okay, speaking of Fox News pundits, so we have more, by the way, you can stop sending this to me, I got it, the Sarah Palin brawl, we have more fun facts in.
Yes.
Oh dear, is this from TMZ?
Yeah.
Sarah Palin says daughter slut shamed during drunken family brawl.
Yeah.
Would this be the abstinence spokeswoman?
Yes.
The well-known abstinence spokeswoman, right. Bristol?
Yeah.
Palin.
Yeah.
Who is absent spokesman because she got
pregnant.
Right.
Out of wedlock.
As a teenager. Yeah. Okay. Sarah Palin's family threw down in a massive drunken brawl as violent as any wrestling cage match with ripped shirts, bloody faces, and her daughter Bristol getting dragged around the lawn by her legs. This, according to TMZ, has obtained the police report.
Mm-hmm.
The violence erupted when Bristol went after a woman who allegedly shoved her younger sister, Willow. Bristol told police the homeowner, Corey Klingenmeyer, shoved her to the ground, dragged her around, and started calling her a slut and a C word. What do you think this is, the Happy Hour podcast, people?
Ah.
Corey and several other witnesses at the party saw it differently, telling cops that Bristol punched him in the face, and he says he let her hit him 5 or 6 times before grabbing her fist and pushing back, sending her reeling to the ground. That scrap then sparked the all-out brawl. Willow says several people at the party were chanting, the Palins.
F the
just
Palins.
Like the country did electorally.
Right.
Electorally. Back in... Okay. Willow, let's see. Oh, no, I'm sorry. One witness said Todd got jumped by 4 people, then Track jumped in to help his father.
Mm-hmm.
He emerged from the scrum with a torn shirt and a bloody mouth. Bristol says she was uninjured, though one cop described her as having dirt on her knees.
Not the first time.
What? I was going to say fill in your own joke...
I filled it in for
inside
you.
Inside voice.
I filled it in for you.
Inside voice. Cops described almost everyone at the party as being intoxicated, including the Palins.
This
classic with a K.
Sarah Palin didn't get out of the limo at all during, except to get out and say, "Don't you know who we are?"
Right. That was like after the election. She wanted to get out and say a few words after the
after
they lost the fight.
Yeah.
Corey told the cops the Palins lost the fight.
Yep.
Much as they did electorally, as I mentioned.
Exactly.
And then Sarah Palin picked that up. Can I like to say a couple words? Could I now? No, you've done enough. You've helped enough. They reached out to the Palins. So far, no response.
Yep.
No in casa. The Palins, no in casa for TMZ.
Something tells me that they won't respond to TMZ.
Yeah, guess not. Okay, that's kind of sad they lost twice.
Yeah.
Losers! Aww. Dan in Atlanta, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dan. Hello,
hey,
Dan.
Good morning, how are you?
Good.
Good, go ahead.
How you doing today?
Good, go ahead.
Okay. First off, I had a joke for you I wanted to run by you. I was gonna hit you up on your Twitter. I actually sent you on Twitter. I was the one who tweeted you that newspaper article of the Hindenburg crashing, and it says blamed on this guy that was Barack Obama.
Yes, yeah. Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Here's one. What's the difference between the Tea Party and Ebola?
I don't know.
One has the ability to wipe out American families and spread misery for generations to come, and the other is Ebola.
Goodness gracious, that is, oh my goodness. Okay.
Golly.
That's topical. Okay.
Topical and timely is today's headlines.
Exactly, everybody. Good morning. Okay, we're talking about all the water cooler topics everybody's talking about. I hate program directors. Okay, Jeff.
You know what I hate worse than program directors?
What?
Air check sessions with program directors.
I used to have ones that lasted like the length of the show.
Yeah.
Like we would listen to the entire show together. I'm like, I know, I was there. Oh, I hate myself. I have to hear it again. All right, so a little inside radio humor, everybody.
I'm so glad you don't make us do air check sessions.
We are bossless now.
Yeah, I know.
You know what? We're just a wandering jihad now. We're the ISIS of radio.
Yeah, wandering around in the desert, blind.
We have no direction.
Yeah.
No supervision. I mean, I'm the adult supervision. How's that going to go?
God.
How did that go when he lodged a complaint for sexual harassment with the HR department, which is me? Didn't go very far, did it?
I think it was disappeared into the cornfield.
Yeah, put that in my inbox.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll show you an inbox.
I don't have one. All right, Jeffrey with, by the way, some of the thoughts on the, on what he was alluding to. The president not getting credit for anything or getting blamed for everything. Hey, Steph, Republicans like to portray Presidents Carter and Obama as failures when it comes to the economy, but consider this. Consider these fun facts, won't you?
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Need more fun facts.
Thanks. According to numbers from the Department of Labor, under the last three Republican presidents, Reagan, Bush, and Bush, there were a total of 21 million new jobs created during their combined 20 years in office.
Right.
Under the last three Democratic presidents, Carter, Clinton, and Obama, there were a total of 38 million jobs created during their combined 18 years in office. Obama has 2 years left.
Sure.
That's almost, just for those of you doing the math, almost double. President Obama has 2 more years in office, and we are creating about 2.5 million jobs per year. So if the trend continues, the three Democratic presidents will have created at least 42 million jobs compared to 21 million jobs from Republican presidents.
Uh-huh.
That is double.
Right.
Republicans are arguing that Obama is the worst president in history, even though we've already seen the creation of more net jobs under Obama than under both Bush presidents combined. And we have started the unnecessary war. That wasn't painful. Just saying.
Yeesh.
Yeesh. I go. Okay. So I think that is all.
Are you saying Igor?
Hey. I don't know. We'll ask May. what was I going to say? Oh,
I don't know.
Yeah, I can't wait to talk to Rude Pundit Monday. He wrote a piece, The Quiet Competence of President Obama.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the, we were saying the, whether you look at the Forbes magazine, which is not a conservative or not a liberal publication.
That commie rag.
Yeah, talking about how he is, period, the best economic president in modern history.
Yeah.
And I don't get it. It makes me, whatever, the whole, like,
hey.
Exactly, the having to run away from President Obama's record.
I mean,
really? Bringing health care to millions of people and check all any economic indicator. He brought the unemployment rate down to where Mitt Romney said, remember Mittens, how everything was going to be perfect? And, and I'll bring it down to 6%. For my president, 4 years. Well, he did it in a year and a half. President Obama did it in a year and a half, man.
Yeah.
Blah. All right, we were talking about Ebola. They have lawmakers have approved $700 million to fight Ebola to help the military mission, which I think is good news.
Yeah. Louis Gohmert can still say no to that, though.
Can he? Oh, well, thank God there's such a fine scientific mind to reason that through. I don't understand. How could it get here? There is water in between where that is and this is.
How could somebody so stupid be in charge of so many committees? I don't get it.
I don't know. All right. So the latest. Oh, wow. The latest on ISIS, including you got to delve into this story.
What?
Iran says it's under attack by ISIS. So, OK, I don't. You know what? And this is this plays to my isolationist tendencies. I'm like, well, good. Oh, hash that out. Shout out, everybody. Let's see how that works.
Yeah, you keep bragging about your army. Why don't you go ahead and use it? Okay?
Okay.
Yeah.
45 minutes after the hour, we roll along on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's fun. It's healthy. It's good exercise. The kids just love it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Happy Friday. 49 minutes after the hour. Friday's was sexy. There were John Fugelsang coming up at the top of the hour in just a few minutes. And journalist May Lee.
Yeah.
Horror Fridays in hour number three.
We love our whores.
Yes, we do. By the way, love letter from Paul in Indiana. Stephanie Mooks, thanks for a wonderfully funny and incredibly smart show. Thank you, Paul.
Hmm.
I've been a fan for nearly 2 years. I make a point to get up early every day in time to hear it. Wish I'd done it sooner. I'm an old bastard. 67.
Oh.
Don't do social media and all that, but after your first free audio podcast, I was hooked. I subscribed to a year's worth of video, easily worth the mere $3.95 per month, and can only say, holy, look at an F-bomb, dropped an F-bomb.
Wow.
That is incredibly funny. And even as a hetero male, I must say you look delicious. Wishing you a long, successful
run. That's
because
you tart it up.
Yeah, I do tart it up for the time. And by the way, Carlos El Rocky and Jim Ward on the Happy Hour podcast. Audio available tonight, video available tomorrow.
Yep.
Eat it, do it. All right. Because you did not get to watch the debauchery on the original, the pilot podcast.
No.
Now there is a video. All right, so I'm reading this, and it makes me say, Hager, because Hager. We've already talked about the strange bedfellows this whole ISIS thing has created, and I'm like, what the? I can't even keep track of what we're doing. So, okay, we want Assad out, but we're arming the
rebels.
Moderates to fight the ISIS in Syria, and then also... So now, Iran says it's under attack by ISIS. Because, you see, who could have seen this coming but everybody if we upset the whole, except for George Bush, if we upset the whole Sunni-Shiite balance in the Middle East, which we did. And see now, Saddam Hussein was a Sunni and a Sunni bastard.
Right, but that could just be Iran's way of dragging us into a war with them.
Right, but so we have interest in... in common with Iran. I'm guessing that Lindsey Graham will just want to bomb Iran and just get...
of course.
Just to kill everybody, ISIS and everybody
in Iran. He
wants
to turn Iran into a parking lot.
Right. Iran claims it's under assault by Sunni militants like ISIS. Now Tehran is making a mass arrest to try and stop the onslaught. ISIS, this is from Daily Beast, ISIS could and very much wanted to transform Iran into pools of blood, said... an ISIS spokesperson. After all, Iran was the bitterest enemy of the Islamic State. Oh, for God's sakes. But Al-Qaeda, check this out. Check out these not-so-fun facts.
All right.
Al-Qaeda has been known to have deep, complex relationships with Iran, and so ISIS, which grew out of a branch of Al-Qaeda in Iraq, thank you once again for all of it, George Bush, thanks, held back its soldiers and repressed its rage over the years to preserve the unity of Al-Qaeda's ranks. So let history record that Iran owes an invaluable debt to Al-Qaeda, he added. This is the head of the ISIS. But in May, he announced Adnani. This is Adnani. I don't know what his name is. Adnani. He announced a change of plans. ISIS would not respect al-Qaeda requests anymore, and while Adnani did not overtly threaten Iran, the May 13th attack turned out to be one in a string of purported terror attacks against Iran and the Iranians. Isn't this starting to sound like... Wow! I can't even begin to imagine how this is all going to work out.
Great.
Yikes. Okay, Jen Psaki, State Department spokesperson on
urgent and rapid steps are needed to halt ISIL military capabilities, and General Allen and Ambassador McGurk will make that clear in their meetings with Turkish officials.
I feel like I need a shot of Psaki after every time she speaks, because
yes,
we're just getting deeper and deeper into this.
This is starting to feel World War III.
Yeah.
Former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton said ISIS militants are, you know, which we've heard before, are stronger and better funded than mm-hmm. al-Qaeda and could have posed a direct threat to the United States and other Western countries if their advance is not stopped. She said it's a serious threat because this is the best funded, most professional, expansionist jihadist military force that we have ever seen. This is far more advanced and far richer than al-Qaeda ever was. Try to keep track of all these pieces so far. The president was right to launch a political and military offensive against the militants who have seized vast areas of Iraq and Syria mm-hmm. and beheaded American and British hostages. The group will attempt to launch attacks against Western targets if it has the ability to do so. Okay. The Turkish prime minister, meanwhile...
We will do everything possible to help people of Kobani because they are our brothers and sisters. We don't see them as Kurds or Turkmen or Arabs.
Right, everything except... Send troops.
Help. Yeah,
right.
Everything except for help.
Right, except send Turkish boots. Just checking with them. Okay. Wow.
Okay.
So this is Thomas Durkin. This is the teenager.
No, this is the attorney for the teenager.
Right, the teenager that was caught trying to join
trying to fly
ISIS.
From O'Hare to Europe and then to...
Walk into
yeah.
wherever from whatever. And as I said, they say teens are lazy. Because he was going to fly there and then walk from Turkey... Most kids, you can't get them off the video games.
Okay. I'm sure he had a whatever
Angry Birds
Game Boy you
Candy
have
Crush?
Now.
You think he's playing Candy
he's
Crush?
He's playing Candy Crush.
On
as,
plane?
As, well,
on the way
kids,
to Jihad?
Kids don't play Angry Birds
Maybe
much
they
anymore.
Have Candy Jihad, not Candy Crush for those. Okay, here is his attorney.
If nothing else, he is someone who takes his faith very, very seriously. And whether anybody would agree with how he sees things is a different issue, but that's his right.
How would you like to be that kid's attorney?
Oh, boy. When he got that call. Oh, really?
Oh.
Okay. Here he is again, Thomas Durkin.
In my opinion, ISIS is not a threat to the United States, and there are a lot of people who share that view. So if ISIS isn't a threat to the United States, I don't know how he could be.
That's twisty.
All right, I'm not sure if you should be getting into foreign policy. Okay, Todd and Fullerton, you're on the...
Who's going to buy that in
a
court?
Hello, Todd.
Hi.
Yeah, hey. What makes Iran really important, north of Iran has nukes. They have nuclear power. They have nuclear reactors there. They have nukes.
Right.
So they may not have nuclear bombs. But they have nuclear material.
They're working towards it, yes.
Yeah, that's what they're trying. That's why they're going there.
Right.
So, and that's the sole reason. Also, getting some new chairs. I watch you guys every morning, and that's what's killing your backs. Neither one of you are using it. I've got a broken back. I've got 19 broken...
Wait, we have the wrong kind of chairs? Is that what you said?
Fix your chairs.
Fix the chairs?
Sitting back in yours, you don't even use your chair back.
I'm using my chair back right now.
No, you are.
Oh.
Stephanie doesn't.
Uh-oh.
She is destroying hers.
I am.
Get new chairs.
Okay. Well, we could. These are the best we could afford.
They're not supporting your lumbar at all. So.
All right. Thank
donate
you,
at StephanieMiller.com if you'd like to see us get new chairs. And other things. And gym back.
These are the cheapest ones at
Office
Max. We were so excited. We were like, oh, my God, we found cheaper ones.
There's a reason why they were cheap then.
Okay. Yeah.
And you know what?
I use my chair back. Okay, hang on. Oh,
it's funny because Nathan and I were just talking about that this morning. He was massaging his lower back this morning, and I'm like, what's the common denominator among all of us?
Now I see why these chairs are so cheap.
All three of us have back problems, and all three of us sit in these chairs.
Yes, we do. All right. I know he was out there on the couch. I'm like, you just can't stand to spend any more time with us, right? And he's like, no, it's my back.
Yeah.
killing us. Oh. Okay. In other news, former Secretary Clinton, her overall message on the economy was sunny. She said we were on the cusp of another great economic era. And I did think that's interesting. Because, again, if you look at all these economic indicators, everything we've been talking about, did you know, by the way, the deficit just dropped again?
Yeah.
Look at the unemployment number. No. But I mean, I'm going to go out on a limb and say I think Hillary Clinton's going to be our next president. And I think President Obama is going to, of course, hand her a vastly better economy than George Bush handed Obama. And, so anyway, that's the good news.
Mm-hmm.
Say it with me, Teabaggers, President Clinton. 58 minutes after the hour, right back with John Fugelsang on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
No, it is not a scene from Narnia. It is Max, my handsome romantic man.
Narnia?
Oh, my God. He was a star of the Twitterverse yesterday in his trucker cap.
Yes.
Okay.
Jackie Schechner. Yeah, she retweeted that picture.
Yes. All right. Thank you, Jackie. 6 minutes after the hour. Happy Friday, everybody.
Narnia?
They look like the dogs in Narnia.
There were no dogs in Narnia.
There was a big white. Yes, there was. For God's sakes. Yes, there was. Don't make me be
quiet. Are you thinking the Neverending Story?
Yes. And Narnia. Okay, 1-800.
I don't think there were dogs in Narnia, Stephanie.
Everybody says they look like something from Narnia. Just go with me. I was right about the Blades of Glory reference last hour.
I think you mean Neverending Story.
I think you mean shut your yapper.
Okay.
Okay. Hey, look who's here. Fugelsang, Fugelsang, a fang. Fugelsang, Fugelsang, he's so
fine. Fugelsang, Fugelsang, a fang. She were mine. Fugelsang. Good morning, children. Hello. From the Mirror Bureau.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hello, John Fugelsang.
I think I can straighten this out. There was not a dog in Narnia. There was a lion, and its name was Reza Aslan.
I think you just made that up, John Fugelsang.
No, but there was a lion. There weren't dogs.
And the dog was named Aslan after the Muslim scholar that was accosted on Fox News.
Yeah.
Yes, so exactly. John Fugelsang, I have said it a million times, Bill Maher needs to book you. He needs to book Dean Obadalla. So you obviously watched this whole debate, right, on Islam and between Ben Affleck and Bill Maher and Sam Harris, mm-hmm. and et cetera.
I certainly did.
I bet you did. Anxious to get your take on the whole thing.
Well, it's interesting because I'm going to say that I agree with both of them to a large extent. I really think that they both made some great points. But I think that ultimately I have to disagree with Bill on this because, you know, the overwhelming majority of Christians, Jews, and Muslims, liberal, conservative, and moderates, are getting along just fine right now. And the problem isn't Muslims, although I keep an eye on Dean Obadalla if I were you. He's a little shaky. But it's the fundamentalist wing of Islam and of all religions, you know, and people need to stand up against the evils of fundamentalism. When our atheist friends talk about how religion's responsible for all the war and violence and rape and oppression of women and homophobia, it's like, no, those are the ultra-conservative wings of every religion.
Yeah.
And if you're cutting off a guy's head in the name of your religion, you suck at religion. And am I supposed to distrust Muhammad Ali and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar because of ISIS? The guy who stopped the Times Square bombing was a Muslim. Should I
right.
hate him too?
Right. Well, you know, and we were just talking last hour about, of course, Mike Huckabee threatening to leave the Republican Party over their support for or not standing up against marriage equality.
Of course. Well, and that's, well, speaking of fundamentalism. And again, Mike Huckabee, you got to know, stands for one thing, profit. Mike Huckabee knows he'll never be president, although he actually probably could be. He's arguably the best public speaker the GOP has, and I wouldn't be surprised if his presidential run next year does quite well. But Mike Huckabee is all about getting folks in a dwindling minority to send him money. And,
yeah.
And that's it. And the people who, you know, hate minorities really don't like the fact that they're becoming the minority. And Huckabee, you know, I met him a few months ago. I interviewed him for my film, and he's a nice guy. He stands for some not nice things. But, you know, this guy was building up a radio empire to rival Rush Limbaugh. He was stealing sponsorship from Limbaugh left and right, and then abruptly he just left his radio show, which to me is a clear sign that he's going to run for president.
Yeah.
And again, he's going to run being like, you know, a bigger Santorum, telling a dwindling group of Christian fundamentalists exactly what they want to hear so they'll send him checks. And again, like most of the Republicans, he'll be running for higher public speaking fees.
Yeah, yeah, well, yeah, interesting. I mean, but it is, it's so funny. I mean, like on cue, Ted Cruz, you saw what he did as well. Because you go, what, either it's about running for president, as obviously we've reached this beyond tipping point on marriage equality, I think on inevitability. Of course, the headline is Ted Cruz spoils GOP's plans to let SCOTUS neutralize gay marriage issue. Mm-hmm. Once again, they're saying it's even bad for his fellow Republicans because they're like, shut up. Just let it be the court's fault. You know? Yeah. And I'm loving this piece from Mediaite. They're saying a party, you know, obviously just used gay marriage as a wedge issue mm-hmm. as recently as 2004. We heard nary a peep, right, after all these, you know, these earthquake rulings a few days ago.
Exactly.
And then everybody's favorite spoiler, Ted Cruz weighed in, licking his chops over the 2016 GOP primary battle. He came out in favor of a constitutional amendment banning gay marriage. Right? Go ahead.
It's still in their platform. That's the big thing. When the GOP has their 2016 presidential platform, will they still have one man, one woman written into it? Because right. these Democrats seem really, not all Democrats, but a lot of Democrats seem really, really determined to let the GOP just beat them up like an S&M slave who forgot their safe word this November in the midterms. But beyond that, when it gets to 2016 and marriage equality is more popular than ever, already the majority of states allow gay taxpaying citizens to marry who they want because that's what freedom means in a society based on liberty. If they still have this bigotry written into their platform, it will give Democrats right. another thing to clobber them over the head with.
Well, and I think we should be happy, right, for the Mike Huckabees and the Ted Cruzes. One Republican aide said, we don't have to agree with the decision, but as long as we're not against it, it should be okay. The base, meanwhile, will focus its anger on the court and not on us, except that now Ted Cruz is going to make them go on record about it, and you got people like Huckabee piping up.
They all should. They should go on record about abortion rights. They should go on record, every one of them, saying that they think that Roe versus Wade should be repealed, and if that's the case, women and doctors who terminate pregnancy should be incarcerated. This is what we should be talking about. We need to know how extreme their agenda is, because these Republicans just like to say, I'm pro-life, and that gets them votes. But what does that really mean? What is their actual agenda? If you repeal Roe v. Wade, you're not going to end abortions. You're going to end the safe and legal kind and criminalize it, and I guess that means you're going to start locking up women who have it and creating thousands of new Dr. Kermit Bastnells. And believe me, if the media was liberal, Steffers, my love, they'd be asking these very questions.
I don't know why it makes me hot when you call me Steffers. I don't really know why.
Well, the good thing is now that they can't use gay marriage anymore as a wedge issue, we have to go back to those old chestnuts of Muslim hate and Mexican hate.
Yeah.
Like a 90s mixtape back in Vogue.
You know, interesting you bring up abortion, because when you say, I mean, I don't know if you saw this headline this week. Alabama's radical abortion law puts minors on trial, gives their fetuses a lawyer. A radical anti-choice law in Alabama would put minors on trial if they don't obtain parental consent. A guardian is appointed for their fetus and could drag family, friends, and acquaintances into court. In addition, the fetus gets a lawyer. This is the kind of small government that they're talking about, right?
Yep. Yeah, exactly. And again, it's small government, but it can go in your bedroom and in your uterus. And, you know, they have a right to do that. Anyone who thinks abortion should be outlawed has a right to fight to outlaw. That's the beauty of our system. They can do it. But, you know, let's shine a light on it. Let's find out what their overall agenda is, because they're going to lose, and they're going to cause more abortions. Never forget, children, that abortion rates went down every year Bill Clinton was in office and went up every year George W. Bush is in office. Nobody's pro-abortion. We'd like to see the abortion rate go down, and if we're serious about it, we'll get serious about preventing unwanted pregnancies and a nationalized system of birth control, because we'd all like to see the abortion rate go down.
Speaking of social issues, Chris, could you take your organ out, please, mm-hmm. for the ecclesiastical MOOC? I know that you don't consider yourself a biblical scholar on par with the guy from Duck Dynasty. However,
not quite, no.
No. Duck Dynasty star Phil Robertson warned churchgoers that the unorthodox liberal opinion was responsible for STDs in America, and the only way to protect yourself from STDs is to have biblically correct sex. He said biblically...
What kind of liberal opinion is that? Like equal pay for women? I don't understand.
He said biblically correct sex is safe. It's safe. You're not going to get chlamydia, gonorrhea, syphilis, AIDS if a man marries a woman, neither of you have it, and you keep your sex between the two of you, you're not going to ever get a sexually transmitted disease. And as we know, every heterosexual marriage is like that.
So sex should only happen within the confines of marriage between a man and his 15-year-old wife.
Yes. According to the Bible.
Yes.
Brilliant. You know, this is pretty funny because there is really no mention of you know, syphilis or gonorrhea in the Bible. But there's really not a lot of references to premarital sex in general. Adultery is, of course, frowned upon, but Jesus never actually comes out against premarital sex. And, you know, I just think Phil Robertson, I think the same thing of him that I think of Dick Cheney and Sarah Palin and George W. Bush. Keep talking. Keep talking. If the Democrats aren't going to inspire people to go to the polls, then let these crazy Republicans inspire people to go vote. And if you want the Phil Robertsons of the world controlling the House of Representatives and the Senate, please don't vote next month.
Because yeah.
That's what's going to happen. If you think the Tea Party should have more power, they can roll back gay marriage rights, they can roll back abortion rights. If you think we should nuke Iran and give the rich a tax cut and cut unemployment insurance for your neighbor who just lost his job, please stay home next month because that's what you're going to get.
Have you read the details of the new police report on the drunken family, Palin family brawl?
Yeah, sorry, I fell asleep halfway through you asking that question, Stephanie. That's how bored I am with the Palins. I mean,
that's the kind of dignity that they had hoped to restore to the White House, apparently.
It's fantastic.
Yes.
Again, Sarah Palin's sort of becoming like an IQ test for all of America, and I thank her for that because you save a lot of time getting to know someone as soon as you find out their feelings on Sarah Palin.
Exactly. CJ in Texas, let's take a quick one for John before the break. Hey, CJ.
Good morning. Is it going to be a short time or a long time?
Okay.
Can I tell a short joke?
Sure.
There was a teacher teaching these three Republicans the parts of the arm, and the first two Republicans didn't get it right, and the third one got it right, and the teacher said, well, how did you remember that? And he pointed to his head and said, kidneys, man, kidneys.
Okay.
Okay, you'll get it in a second.
Okay. You know what?
Right.
Later today, yeah. I am really going to be, I'm going to burst out, and no one will understand why.
The constitutional amendment. That it takes at least 34 states, if I remember rightly.
Uh-huh.
And each state has to bring it forward, and I don't think they can get there.
Right. So once again, Ted Cruz is fighting for something that is impossible. But
yeah, it's impossible.
Yes.
He just wants to bring it up to make a big deal out of it.
Yes. Just to be an asshat.
You know, for you know, political gains.
Yes.
So,
exactly. Right. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. John, kidneys.
Whatever you say, man.
All right. So that happened.
That's the second time that's happened this morning.
I'm going to need to think about that. All right, John.
Travis, screen those jokes out better, please.
Oh, no. Oh, no. It's turning into a joke contest. All right. We continue more Fridays with the professional comedian John Fugelsang.
Yeah, thank God.
As we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEPH-1-2. Stephanie Miller. I'm a bitch, I'm a lover, I'm a child, I'm a mother, I'm a sinner, I'm a saint. I do not feel ashamed, I'm your hell, I'm your dream. I'm nothing in between, you know you wouldn't want it any other way.
Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. 22 minutes after the hour, Fridays with John Fugelsang. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Let's go to Mike in Madison. You're on with John. Hey, Mike.
Ah, what a beautiful day. Texas and Wisconsin back on the map. And I'm just wondering if the Koch brothers can feel the wedgie from Wisconsin.
You're talking about a voter ID?
Yes, and the piece of cheese we sent them yesterday.
Okay. Yeah. What is the latest polling with Mary Burke, by the way, and Scott Walker?
Well, you know what? Everybody's saying that every time they see Mary Burke and hear from her, they like more. I think she's become more comfortable. Probably wouldn't have been my choice for a candidate, but, you know, anything's better than Scott Walker. And Mary Burke appears to be someone who will work with people. I mean, they accused her of plagiarizing. Well, I think it's the governor's job to go to each district and find out what our Assembly and Senate people have for jobs in mind and people to invest in that, and then have the wisdom to put that in action. That's what the governor's supposed to do.
Yep, absolutely. John, you know, you were obviously just referring to getting out and voting, as you keep saying every week when you're on. And I say that, too, that I'm so sick of the punditry, the beltway sort of wisdom that I don't know if you remember how many times it was wrong in the last election, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm reading a headline right now from, where is this? I'm not even sure, AP, but as South Dakota race breaks open, bizarre turn of events could save the Senate for the Democrats. Just a lot. I mean, that's the thing, is, you know, it's that saying, right, if the election were held today, to which we always say, Chris, and if my aunt had a, she'd be my uncle.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of factors, including turnout, that don't let them tell you who's already won, right?
Exactly. And you know what? Also, can I just take a moment to give a lot of love to Russell Brand and also say he's full of crap on this? I'm really tired of my really hip friends coming out and saying that voting's a joke and that nothing changes and that your voice is more powerful if you don't stay home. You know what? I get that whole argument. And here's the thing. Everyone's saying don't vote. The one thing their argument leaves out is the Tea Party is voting. And the Tea Party wants you to listen to Russell Brand. And the Tea Party doesn't want you to believe in democracy. I think I said it last week on your show. It's not that the Republican Party hates government. They love government. Government's how they get all their toys funneled up to the upper 1%. They hate democracy. And I think that democracy is really what we have to focus on more than voting. And if we had 85% turnout like they had in Scotland, the politicians would have to change. Things would have to get different. They would show up to work if we showed up to vote.
You know,
so please, don't give in to the cynicism about voting.
You know, I did, I was telling Chris, I did Governor Jesse Ventura's podcast this week, which was a trip.
Oh, how was that? Did you have a good time? I've worked with him several times.
Yeah, it was a trip without a suitcase. But anyway,
I'm sure it's a fun listen.
Yeah, but I said half of the things that you believe I'm in love with you, and the other half gives us our that I disagree with gives us our crackling sexual tension.
Right.
Yes, but you know, when he gets, cause as he does, you know, he's going to as an independent or whatever, like, both sides do it, Stephanie. They're both exactly the same. When are you going to see that? It's like, no, they're not exactly the same.
That was a great Ventura impression.
I mean, you want to say they're the same on spying on Americans, on NDAA, on drones, you know, I'll go with you on there, but that's it. I won't say, I you can criticize Obama all you want on national security issues, criticize him on the war, but don't put him in the same stadium with Bush and Cheney.
Yeah, I mean, read the headline on HuffPost, Republicans hint at another government shutdown over Obamacare. Seriously. I mean, the parties could not be more, you know, more distinct, John, on each and every issue. You know,
well,
you,
remember,
minimum wage, equal pay for women. You look at any issue that's going to matter to you and your family, and Democrats are on the right side of it.
Exactly right. The people who hate the government and threaten to shut down the government and then did shut down the government are now blaming Obama for the government shutdown.
Yeah.
And they're going to do the same thing all over again because it's all they got. Obstruction is all they got. Can you imagine if these Republicans worked with the president and helped improve people's lives? Then they would get into office because people would vote for them, not because the Koch brothers and Sheldon Adelson funneled money to them.
Yeah.
Then they'd earn their jobs rather than buy their jobs.
Speaking of criticizing the president, here is Leon Panetta.
President Obama has been a strong leader. He made a very tough decision with regards to the bin Laden raid, and it was a risky decision, but he made the right decision. He's made the right decision in terms of helping the economy. He's made the right decision in terms of health care. He's been a president who really is trying to provide the right leadership for the country. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't talk or disagree about certain elements of the leadership. That's part of what goes on. But this president has the ability to establish a strong legacy for the country.
Particularly, we need to disagree with the president if we want to sell a book and get on Fox News.
Yeah,
I mean,
no, that's about getting Hillary Clinton elected. I mean, Leon Panetta, much respect, but he's going to be looking for a job with the Clintons, and he's trying to curry favor with the Clintons. And we're now going to watch the Democratic Party, especially after the midterm, begin the big shift away from Obama, and try to make it like, oh, here's a fresh new face in Hillary Clinton coming in. And I think that Mr. Panetta's comments last week were the beginning salvo in that.
Well, you know, and Michael Tomasky said Jimmy Carter's criticism, he said, how much do you think that's about getting his grandson elected in Georgia? I mean, you're right, John. It's hard to
Jimmy Carter's been pretty consistent. I will say that from the beginning.
But he's saying we should have boots on the ground? Since when is Jimmy Carter a hawk?
Oh, I know. Well, I'm not even sure. Did he actually say that?
Yeah. He said he was sounding more hawkish on, you know.
I don't
Iraq.
Know if he said the phrase boots on the ground.
I'll Google it. It's what he said. It's that it needs to be stronger, I guess, the response. I mean, I just, you know, John, I guess what I keep saying is I'm sick of all the armchair generals. I mean, it's, you know, John McCain.
Well, listen, we were all armchair generals under Bush, and we had to be. We were doing the right thing.
Well, because we were, they were all of them were better than Bush. We were all better at, yes.
Yeah, well, that's exactly true. Bush wasn't in charge. I mean, you know, blaming Bush for what Bush did was like blaming the hood ornament on the car for the accident. But the fact is that we, you know, some of us criticize the president because we want him to succeed and we care about his place in history. And a lot of us, you know, criticize the ISIS action because we don't want more boots on the ground. We don't want more troops coming home in body bags. And, you
yep.
know, but again, it goes back to Bush and Cheney. If
yep.
we hadn't invaded, there'd be no ISIS.
Yep, absolutely. Right back. More Fridays with Bugle Sang on the Stephanie Miller.
Stephanie Miller.
Hello, Mr. Beaver.
yeah. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 34 minutes after the hour. Fridays with Sexy Liberal John Buglesang, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Oh, boy, here we go. Fight, 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 John. Tom writes, are you not going to mention one of your liberal loves, Lawrence O'Donnell, was all snuggly with Sam Harris last night? Keep on apologizing for the barbarity of this religion. Oops, never mind. I forgot John Fugelsang reminded us about Muhammad Ali. That's why it's all good.
Oh,
dear
God.
God.
You know, again, it's like, what am I supposed to do? You know, I have a Muslim cousin. He's a doctor from Egypt. He helped save my father's life. Am I supposed to hate him because of what these guys in ISIS did? I don't really understand this. It's like, it's so different than saying I should hate all Christians because of what Hitler did in the Holocaust.
Right.
Christians have killed a lot more Muslims than the other way around. And, and as Dino Vidala points out in his stand-up act, and by the way, I'm performing with Dino Vidala tonight in New York City's East Village at Laughing Liberally, details on my Facebook page and Twitter.
Awesome.
Dean talks about how American Jews have more in common with American Muslims than they have with Israeli Jews. You know, he's like, Woody Allen has more in common with Muhammad Ali than he does with a guy living in Israel. And it's like, I'm not going to hate Kareem Abdul-Jabbar because of Saddam Hussein. It doesn't work that way.
Right. Yep. Yep. I agree. And by the way, we're all allowed to disagree on certain things, you know? I mean, it's
And it's like, I think that these guys are rat bastards. I think that we have to eradicate, you know, evil people of all fundamentalist religions who are trying to kill us. But the fact of the matter is, these guys in ISIS aren't coming through the Texas border, okay? They're douchebags. They were allowed to flourish because we took Saddam Hussein out after arming Saddam Hussein for decades. Never forget. You can blame Ronald Reagan for this, too, because he was our military thug. He was the non-religious kook that Reagan could do business with, and he kept the peace in a very bloody, horrible way. And the Republicans were just fine with it until August of 1990.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is just like, I love the biggest coming out of the hole. And it's one thing I'll say, I'll give credit to President George W. Bush, because when he was president, he did bend over backwards to remind people that Islam is at its core a religion of peace and that we can't judge all Muslims based on this. And again, you know, you want all black folks judging.
Yes, as he was bombing an unarmed Muslim country, right?
Well, exactly. Of course. But again, Bush kept saying, don't abuse Muslims here at home. And I give him credit for it because I don't hear any Republicans saying that now.
Yeah. Yep. I hear you. Chris in Chicago, you're on with John. Hello, Chris.
Hi, you guys. I was in France during the Scotland separation vote.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And CNN came on and said, we are not allowed by England to mention anything about any returns or any voting. And they had 85%. I realize it's a small country. I realize they only had two time zones to deal with. But I do think strongly that that is something that the United States always fails on. You know, everybody knows what happens in New York and in the East Coast, all the way by you guys in the West Coast. So that I always think that that kind of stuff depresses voting because you already know early returns. And so, you know, I thought, how great that England said, no, there's an actual ban on that. You're not allowed to do it. What would that matter? You know, how would that change everything here? I think it would have changed a lot. I mean,
well, it would help democracy here. I mean,
right.
We have national elections. People on the West Coast seeing, oh, it's already called in the East Coast. Why even show up? Let me stay home and have dinner.
Exactly.
And because of that, they don't vote in their local elections, which are often more important than the national ones.
Exactly.
Yeah. Good. Good point, Chris. Thanks for that. Yeah, Barry in Virginia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with John. Hi, Barry.
Hello, Stephanie.
Hi.
And John and Chris.
Hello.
Good to talk with you. You were talking before about, you know, not knowing the difference between Republican or Jesse Ventura saying that. I'm here in Virginia, and, of course, we're having a tough time in a way. We've got Terry McAuliffe, you know, that I voted for, and he did try to expand Medicaid here, but his first major announcement is that he's going to build a giant pipeline right through here to carry fracked gas.
What a shock.
Yeah, well, you know, and Barry, by the way, I did agree with Governor Ventura on some, what he was referring to specifically when he first said that is he said he fought, I can't remember exactly what, you know, gay rights thing he fought for when he was governor of Minnesota, and he said it was the Democrats that bargained that away. It was the first thing they negotiated away, like, you know, like the public option on health care. And I get what he's...
We have Mark Warner that, you know, I'm going to vote for Mark, okay? But if you look at Mark's Sims Bowles... you know, reaching across the table, I think he's broke his elbow reaching all the way because, again, it has major cuts to Medicare, major cuts to Social Security. So, again, look, I'm a Democrat, I vote for these guys, but sometimes, you know, it's tough. Sometimes it's tough to swallow, you know.
Yeah,
that's what we have to do. The solution is to vote Democrat and then kick their asses once they're in office. We can't check out. Democracy is not a spectator sport, and we have to ride these guys because if we don't make them listen to us, big money will make them listen to them.
Yeah, well, I mean, but this is always the case in these, you know, southern states, right, John? I mean, this is the problem. I mean, you know, Allison Lund, boy, I'm going to say
Lundgren.
Lundgren Grimes. I don't know why I always go into my heart.
Yeah.
Mr. Lundgren. He's playing the interview. anyway, but I mean, there's a certain, you know, way you have to sound and issues, right, that you can't, I mean, be too strident on, I guess, in these southern states. But you go, if we could get rid of Mitch McConnell, oh my God, how great would that be?
It'd be great, and I don't know if we can. I mean, you'd think that when his you know, right-hand aide from Rand Paul was revealed to be corrupt, that it would have hurt him. It doesn't seem to have hurt him at all, and Mitch McConnell's been bringing home the bacon for many years, and that's why he's going to get a lot of donations, both from within and without of his state. And 94% of candidates with the most money win. That's a sign that democracy is in danger, too. And so I'd love to see it happen. But this doesn't just happen in the southern states. This happens everywhere. It just may seem much more pronounced in our former Confederate states. And again, most of the states that refuse Medicaid expansion are in the South. Why are the Democrats marching into these areas and talking about how the Republican Party is screwing the working people of these states? You know, Howard Dean had the 50-state strategy, the unsung hero in Barack Obama's first election, and I'd love to see Democrats take the fight directly to Alabama and Mississippi.
Yeah.
These are the poorest states, the fattest states. And Texas has the most uninsured people of any state in America, and they have Ebola, and Rick Perry's denying Medicaid funds. I mean, the Democrats should be able to make hay out of this because it's the conservatives who are getting screwed.
Yep. Let's go to Donald in Illinois. You're on with John. Hello, Donald.
Yes, hi, Steph.
Hi.
You know, I get sick and tired of Panetta, and I really had respect for Carter, but not anymore. You know, what is it that they didn't understand when President Obama was following Bush's policy to get our troops out of there by that date? And not only that, there too, Bush appointed Maliki, did not want our troops to be there, and wouldn't offer amnesty. Well, maybe the two of them ought to get their heads out of their ass so their ass doesn't cover the cheeks of their rectum doesn't cover their ears and listen to the facts.
All right. Thank you, Donald.
We've had some colorful...
I enjoyed that. We've had some colorful characters on the phone lines this morning.
That was metaphor jihad right there.
No, but I mean, the fact of the matter, John, we were just talking about a story earlier about, you know, Iran says it's being attacked by ISIS now. I mean, it just... This is... Anybody that is an armchair general that thinks they know exactly... There's some plan that would be so easy to... Sorted all this out, and this would—I mean, it's a mess, as you've alluded to, created by, you know, George and George Bush, and it's obviously the fact is, what do you do now? But you can't divorce it from this. Is just—I mean, it has reached so many different there's so many tentacles of it. It's hard to even right. I mean, look at Assad. We want Assad out, but we're trying to, you know, arm the rebels.
And the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Is why we have all these horrible quagmires and dictators in the Middle East, because we've always had a long history of getting in bed with the wrong people. I say, stop buying their oil, maybe buy their opium, definitely arm their women.
Yeah, there you go. Those are the moderates we should be arming. Anybody, anything with a vagina, give
them a gun.
Give them a gun.
Even their goats.
With,
any woman who can hide it under a burqa. Give the weapons to the women.
Exactly. Exactly. Dwayne in Virginia, you're on with John. Hi, Dwayne.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Good, go ahead.
I just had a statement to make about this so-called war against Muslims. And
who's fighting a war against Muslims?
I don't think we're at a war against Muslims.
You have a lot of people thinking that all Muslims are bad because of what's going on with ISIS. When, you know, we have, like, organizations like the Shriners, which is an Arabic order, and, you know, those are good people.
Right, but
so
that's...
We can't label all Muslims bad because of what's going on, you know, over there with ISIS.
Yeah.
Right, but that's symbolic. I mean, we don't label the story of Aladdin bad because it's, you know, of Arabic origin.
But you have certain, like, some news stations... You know, they portraying all Arabs as all Muslims as being bad people.
Well, that's wrong.
Right.
I mean, I know.
We don't do that here on this show.
No, not your show.
Okay.
I was just saying in general.
Yeah, well, that's part of this debate. You know, I think this whole debate, right, John? That's what gets so inflammatory is, you know, this whole argument that, mm-hmm. you know, between Bill Maher and Ben Affleck is that, you know, and you got to give Maher points that he is anti every religion. It's just
yeah,
that he
I do give him points.
Yeah.
But again, it's like, you know, I'm sorry, but show me something religion's done bad and I'll show you something religion's done good.
Right.
I'm not a huge fan of organized religion, but I'll defend people's right to faith and worship. And I do think that religion gives people community. It gives people purpose. It does help people. You can call them weak if you want to be a snob about it, but that's just the way it is. And you can hate religion all you want. You're not going to be able to make people stop believing there's more to life than just that which we can see. But I do want to say, in the Bible, the book of Exodus commands that children are executed for disrespecting their parents. Everybody should Google Muslims against terrorism and see how hard decent Muslims have it. And the Bible preaches death to infidels as well. In Deuteronomy, I think it's chapter 13, God orders that if people in a town come to believe in a different God, you got to kill everybody, including the animals, and burn the town down and kill all the people who do believe in that God. Most Christians recognize this as stupid and evil and don't believe it, but it's in their holy book too. More people have died in Christian wars than in Muslim wars, and Christians have killed a lot more Muslims than they've killed Westerners.
Yeah, well, that's a really great point that we've tried to make again and again. All right, we can roll along with it's a crackling Fridays with Fugelsang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party, 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Zohar at the window. Maylee is here. All right. Fridays with Sexy Liberal John Fugelsang, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. John, brace yourself. I know you're a sensitive man, and as you probably have heard, Paula Patton has filed for divorce from Robin Thicke.
Oh, no.
Yes. Yes, indeed. It's all of those horrible, horrible songs did not help bring her back.
Wow. I want to say I almost feel sorry for this guy, but after seeing how he tried to throw Pharrell under the bus with the Marvin Gaye lawsuit, I just think it's hilarious. And, yeah, you know, what can I say? I mean, if his father wasn't Alan Thicke, he'd be the best voiced barista in all of Malibu.
Wow. So speaking of nasty divorces, have you heard this, the actor Stephen Collins, this case out here?
Oh my God! This is a horrible, horrible story.
Yeah, it is.
Well, yeah, he played the a minister, right, on Seventh Heaven. He played the dad, yep. A minister. But, I mean, it's a little bit of the Donald Sterling case, too, right? Because he was recorded, I guess, you know, without, he didn't know he was being recorded.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it was in his therapist's office, but he obviously...
His therapist's office with his estranged wife of 27 years, and then she gave the tape to the police 2 years ago. The police sat on this tape, despite the confession on it, and then someone this week released the tape, but not his wife. And that's an important thing to remember. It wasn't his wife who leaked this to TMZ. Here's an aspect of this story. It's a horrible story. The guy's already on suicide watch. He was fired from some organization he worked on that helped
John, for people that haven't heard, he admitted to molesting little girls.
On the tape.
On the tape.
And said that he had a problem, and he had to resign from his position in the Screen Actors Guild. But now... you know, some of his co-stars on Seventh Heaven, a show that, believe it or not, I never got around to watching, but they've come out and said, you know, oh, he's a great guy, and, you know, I don't doubt he was a nice guy. I mean, I remember he was in Star Trek The Motion Picture and Tales of the Gold Monkey, the Raiders
First Wives Club
off of the 80s.
Yeah, First Wives
Club. And his wife that he's divorcing was in the original V miniseries.
That's correct. But here's the thing that no one's also realized. Now they're beginning to pull reruns of Seventh Heaven from syndication all over the country.
Right.
Yeah.
So now his co-stars are going to get screwed by this because a lot of people who are planning on residual checks paying for their kids' college, no more.
That's right.
And this is just
hurting
and hurting more and more people.
And of course his lawyer is saying this is a shakedown for money, but I don't get the legality of how can you record someone without their consent and then, did the therapist record it without his consent?
Therapists often record sessions just for their own notes.
I believe it was the wife who made the recording because it was the wife who gave the recording to the police department.
Oh,
and again,
because it was a felony.
You can get away with recording a private conversation. I'd ask Linda Tripp about that sometime.
If only there was someone here whose father was a psychiatrist. Oh, look who's here. Well, you're not here yet. You're just. Okay. But anyway, I mean, it's horrible. So, you know, it's like Donald Sterling. It's horrible stuff on the tape, but it's, you know, it's that sticky situation again where you go, like, you know, at what point, you know, when you're recorded privately, but I guess you're right. That's the difference. Well, I guess he was admitting to a felony, but then you're right. Then why is it 2 years later?
Yeah, it's pretty awful. And again, as bad as Donald Sterling was, interfering with children is just a little bit worse than having some ugly opinions.
Yeah, I'll say. All right, let's, people waiting to talk to the John. Ken in Pennsylvania, you're on with John. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'd just like to say your distortion of history is misleading. You try
Please,
to make
tell us.
Killed more than Muslims.
Please tell me how. Tell me how I'm wrong about that.
Well, ever since Islam was established, their goal was to attain world conquest for their religion. Okay, for their
where does it say? Wait, who established that?
That's what it was ever since it started.
Because you say so? That's not true.
No, the history says so.
What history are we talking about? You're making stuff up.
You try to equate Christians as the same, which I think you try to say Hitler was a Christian. Well, he may have used Christianity, but even he was not motivated by religious motivation. His was political, social.
And Bin Laden was.
He wasn't prejudiced against Jews, really.
The Quran mentions Jesus 93 times. It teaches that he performed miracles, that he was born of a virgin, and that he'll return again as a Messiah. And if you actually read
the Old Testament all the time.
That's the Quran.
I just quoted the Quran. I can tell you that murder is strictly forbidden in the Quran, and the death penalty is not. But Muhammad wrote, "Whoso kills a soul, unless it be for murder or for wreaking corruption in the land, it shall be as if he had killed all mankind. And he who saves a life, it shall be as if he had given life to all mankind." That doesn't sound like go kill all the infidels.
They have lands and countries for centuries.
And Christians
they
haven't?
Under empires almost their entire history.
And Christians never did in their history, sir?
What do you think were the Crusades, mister?
No, Christians have never really established an empire. They don't conquer land for the religion. They don't do that.
Mister, what were the Crusades? You seem to know history. Mister, tell us.
Did we conquer land? No, we didn't conquer land.
Tell us what the Crusades were, mister. You know a lot about history. We're ignorant.
You want to know who the biggest murderers are?
Who?
Are atheists. That's who the biggest murderers are. you got Stalin, you got Mao Zedong, you got Pol Pot. All together, they killed 100 million people.
They didn't kill in the name of atheism.
Right.
They killed in the name of their political affiliation.
Collective communism and socialism are the biggest murderers the world has ever seen.
Well, socialism is not a religion. Now you're conflating religion and political systems.
And if you don't like socialism,
that's
don't
what
drive
you
on
were
roads.
Doing. You were trying to say World War II.
I was trying to correct you.
Mister, calm down. We're not your enemies. Are we your enemies? Are we your enemies, sir?
You absolutely are my enemy because you lie and you distort on purpose to mislead.
What have I lied about? Tell me what I'm still waiting for you to tell me what I've lied about.
You lie
mister.
About this religion. If you could point out an individual and you could say
you can't even tell me one specific thing I've lied about. You're a guy who's verbally typing in all caps.
when you look at the religion overhaul and its history, it is a repeating theme.
No. What have I lied about? What have we lied about? You started this by calling us liars.
The same as they do. If you don't believe the same as they do, and they're in a majority, buddy, you're getting discriminated against. Now,
let me tell you something, mister. You know what my job is? My job, mister, my job is treating people the way I'd like to be treated, and my job is treating you a lot nicer than you treat me. I haven't called you a liar, and you've been here full of insults.
You don't want to hear the other side of the argument.
I hear the other side of the argument every day. I can turn on Fox News or AM radio and hear the other side of the argument. You haven't told me what I lied about, and I've treated you with much more Christian charity than you've extended to me.
John, don't yell at me, but we're hitting a hard break now.
There's no evidence in this conversation.
We love you, Ken. We love you, Ken. Goodbye, Ken. We're hitting a hard break. We love you, John Finkelstein.
Laughing liberally tonight in East Village, free with me and Dino Vidala. Ken's coming.
Yep, free ticket for you, Ken.
Yep, and go to John Fugelsang's Facebook page to find out more information.
All right, May Lee next on the Stephanie Miller Show. Love you, John.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, boy. 6 minutes after the hour. Happy Horror Fridays, everybody!
Yay!
Hi, look who's here. Oh, we chose the ballad.
Maylee, you're on Steph's show for the hour, and we love you.
We do.
You have made it to the basement for the show.
Yes, indeed I have. Good morning, Millie.
Good morning. Well, wait, what's that? What's that clanging noise on the table? Sorry. Oh, that's just my medal.
Oh, look at you.
That's just my medal.
She wore her triathlon medal. What a geek. Look at that.
Hey, man.
She just did a triathlon last Sunday.
Which is impressive.
It's not every day that someone does a triathlon.
That's
true,
impressive.
Right?
It's very impressive.
So I thought I'd boast a little bit.
You're wearing your little sporty, your little sporty Spice triathlon outfit.
I wish I could say that's to, like, go along with the theme of this medal. It's actually only because I haven't washed my hair for a few days. And I was like, screw it. I'm going to wear a baseball
Mainly
cap.
Mainly has a medal and hobo hair, everybody.
Yeah.
Ah, well, that's very impressive. And that's a little participation ribbon.
Yes. Everyone gets a medal.
Only if you finish, though. If you drop out, you don't get one.
If you're DQ'd, you're out. You don't get a medal.
If you drop out because you're tired and you're wimpy.
Tiger mom feel about everyone getting a participation medal without having any special
achievement? Yeah, I know. When I walked in with the medal, she's like, you win? I'm like, no, mom. Everyone got a medal. Oh. You know why? I spoiled her. A couple years ago, I actually did place. I got a bronze medal, so she thought it was like...
That
like,
raised
you know,
her expectations.
Yeah, she thought I would just do that every time.
Right.
Yeah.
So there was just thinly veiled disgust that you got
maybe.
Well, you could always ask
her.
You
could always ask her the last time she won a triathlon.
That's true.
Well, or even ran in one.
She has a whole mantle full of tennis awards, golf awards.
Okay.
She's super stud.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know.
That's tough.
She's Korean.
That's tough to compete with.
Did you have flashbacks to your competitive piano days when you're like,
Oh yeah. When they didn't call my name to place, I was like, oh no! What's my mom gonna say?
We know what your mom's gonna say.
She's gonna say,
Oh, we just did it in stereo.
Oh, stereo. Oh.
It's recorded, Maylee's mom.
Hey, cool. Yeah. There you go.
So anyway, yes. Hello, good morning, good congratulations morning. On
thank
your completed
you.
Triathlon.
You. Yes.
Everyone on our show gets a T-ball trophy.
That's right.
Just for having an opposable thumb and being able to dial a phone. All right. So, by the way, world-famous journalist Maylee says we are doomed about Ebola. Wow! Haven't you covered SARS and bird flu and swine flu?
Well, listen. I just think that because I've covered some of these other horrible viruses and pandemics, it is interesting to see how each region handles it.
Right.
Right? So in Asia, they mishandled in the very beginning with SARS, so they learned their lesson. They absolutely took care of it. And so in Singapore, I mean, they pretty much shut everything down.
Right.
And there was a lot of cooperation.
You lived in Singapore.
Yeah.
And the first thing I asked you the first time I wrote you, I said, have you been caned for chewing gum yet?
No, but I told you that they did allow chewing gum into the country eventually, but only in mint flavor because that serves a purpose.
Oh, okay.
And then if you want to buy it, you had to go register at the pharmacy.
So I would be screwed because I'm a big gum.
You are.
Yeah. You would be going every day and registering. Yeah. So basically,
I'd like to register for gum again, please.
Yeah. So my theory was like, what are they going to do? Oh, I see. If they see a piece of gum on the street, they're going to check the DNA and then look at the records. Mm-hmm.
Harsh, seriously, dude. I think that's harsh, what it was. Dude.
Yeah.
Well, Singapore is a bit more of a restrictive society.
It's Big Brother.
Yeah.
But we were saying that the head of the CDC was comparing this to AIDS, and we were saying that AIDS clearly was mishandled by the Reagan administration in particular. There were people behind closed doors going, oh, good, right, people are dying. It's not normal people.
Yeah.
And that's how it got so out of hand. And in Africa, you're right, because there's so much fear and misinformation and all of that, it's not helping.
Exactly. The right information is not getting out. People are not being educated.
Well, you were saying, I mean, which is true, that that it can mutate. And right now they're saying it's not airborne, but
because bird flu came around again in a different form. So the thing about these viruses are they are living things, right? So they do mutate to be able to deal with a changing environment.
ISIS is a mutation of Al Qaeda.
That's correct, exactly.
And I say if we just project that scary Ebola threat over Iraq, that might scare ISIS.
That might work.
I'm just saying it is scary.
But no, my question was during the break was, how did the NBC cameraman get sick? And it's been mentioned that he was near when they were spraying the car that transported the woman who died of Ebola, right? But so I'm saying, wow, if he was just near the spraying and he got the virus, that's pretty serious.
Right, but
in terms of
but
how
that's
he
also that
contracted it.
Aerosolizing body fluids.
Right, I mean, it's body, it would obviously.
My question is how long had it been since she was in the car and then they were spraying down the virus? So again, the question is raised, how long does the virus survive?
It can only survive on a surface for an hour or two.
So they say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they say.
Look at her. Look at she's become something.
Columbo here.
Are you trying to get a job on Fox News? Something. They say.
I'm just saying, I mean, I think they're learning every day something new about it. So I don't know. We're doomed. That's all I'm saying.
I bet you she's going to get a new, George Norrie kind of radio show.
Uh-huh.
Hi, I'm Maylee, and I'm just saying.
I'm just saying.
I'm not saying. Yeah. I'm just saying.
I'm just saying.
I don't know if it's true, but I'm just saying.
Just, my own little theories and, suspicions. That's all.
Okay.
Okay. I think that...
Sorry, my medal keeps on clanging.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, your medal of mediocrity keeps clanging.
Oh!
Listen, do I say every day? What do I say? This is exactly the level of mediocrity I have aspired to.
Yeah.
I cannot get... I am in my basement. This is the best I can do. When people on Twitter say, I think she can do better. I wish she wouldn't work so blue. I'm like, no, this is the best I can do. If I could do better, I would.
That's your mom wishing you wouldn't work so blue.
Other people express disappointment, please, with the fart sounds. Mm. Can't you do better? Mm. No, I cannot.
Mm.
All right.
I wish you would. Anyway.
Well, I cannot. Sorry. Here's, what it is. I think because you've been, because now you're a total jock, you're so, in your body, you're not even, using your brain. I think you had not seen the latest news. Naomi Campbell is on it. She's on Ebola. It's okay. She hopes to fight Ebola with benefit fashion shows. So Oh, boom. It's gonna be, she's going to beat a bullet to death with her cell phone.
At least she's, come on, she's trying to contribute. Where's Naomi Campbell from? She's British.
Right. She's working to launch a benefit fashion shows in February to raise funds to help fight Ebola. She said she wants to stage a star-studded show during New York Fashion Week. So Ebola will have to wait until Fashion Week. And then another one to follow in London. She said, I'm scared, admitting of these. Okay. Naomi Campbell, you are not going to get Ebola, you dummy. Just saying. What are the chances Naomi Campbell is going to get Ebola?
I'm just saying.
I hope she doesn't lose weight.
You know, oh, no, no.
What is wrong with you?
I don't know. It's Friday and I'm sleepy.
I say good for her for, like, doing something.
She's
to
using
try and help.
Her strength to help raise money. So.
You big meanie.
I'm sorry. Naomi Campbell is so reportedly kind and loving.
Her,
I am sorry
that's
for
true.
Casting
her,
any aspersions.
But maybe she's trying to turn over a new leaf.
Her strength is not in the lab. She is not going to come up with a cure
that's
for Ebola.
Correct. No?
Her strength is
she
being
look,
on a catwalk.
I bet you that's she would right. look fabulous in a doctor coat.
And okay. she could carry one of those Ebola plush animals.
Right.
Or plush toys.
By the way, have you chosen your favorite Ebola, or your favorite virus animal?
You know, I love the
plush
measles.
Toy?
Measles is cute.
It's a really, little round plush toy with little red dots all over it. It's very cute.
Somebody called in yesterday, and she's like, I have chlamydia, I have gonorrhea. Like, well, you better get to a hospital and get off the phone. All right. Dave in London, you're on with May. Hi, Dave.
Hey there, Mooks. Great to talk to you. It's gone 4 in the afternoon here, so it's almost happy hour here.
Hooray!
Oh, hello, nice.
I was listening to your previous caller, and, you know, this is why we probably won't move back to the U.S. for a while, my husband and I. I see the poster on the wall behind you, you know, where it says Goldwater Miller, and I don't recognize the Republican Party. No, I used to be a Republican. We all do strange things when we're still in the closet. I voted Republican. Give me a break.
All right.
But
okay.
I think the way to approach the midterm elections and the 2016 elections is to start running ads on Fox News saying to Republicans, it's time to save your own party and vote for a Democrat. The Republican Party's addicted to crazy. And like a lot of addicts, the only way they're going to get better is when they hit rock bottom. And so I think the strategy for 14 and 16 is going to be, it's time for progressives to help save the Republican Party and get everybody to vote for a Democrat.
Yeah. Well, okay. It's as good a strategy as that. They're going to have to face it. They're addicted to crazy. That party. Just saying.
Just saying, exactly.
Yeah. You saw Mike Huckabee threaten to leave over them not standing up against marriage equality, to which we say, go, run, be free. Yes, please, go.
A lot of Republicans, particularly in the establishment and those who live on the either left coast or those who live up in the bubbles of New York and Washington, are convinced
mm-hmm.
that if we don't capitulate on the same-sex marriage issue,
mm-hmm.
and if we don't raise the white flag of surrender
yeah.
and
just
accept
ever.
The inevitable, then we're going to be losers. I mm-hmm. tell you, Tim, mm-hmm. it is the absolute opposite mm-hmm. of that. And if the Republicans want to lose guys like me and a whole bunch of
mm-hmm.
Still God-fearing,
oh, no.
Bible-believing mm-hmm. people,
oh, no.
go ahead and just abdicate on this issue, and while you're at it, go ahead and say abortion doesn't matter either.
Right.
Because at that point, you lose me. I'm gone.
Oh, no, no.
Oh, God, that's tragic.
Run, be yeah. free, Mike. Don't let them treat you like that. You've got all your life to live, all your love to give. You'll survive. Be free. Can I call you Elsa? Please, Elsa, run. Be free. By the way, speaking of animal stories, oh, we just talked about during the break they had to kill the Ebola dog.
No, the dog that was owned by the Spanish nurse is sick.
Yeah.
And, you know, people were really fighting that. I signed a petition to try to save his life, but apparently...
But dogs can carry Ebola without
symptoms.
Showing any symptoms at
I
all
know.
And then pass it along to other humans.
But here's my question. Then put him in quarantine, keep testing him, and then just
right.
see what happens.
Yeah.
You know? My dog, when I took my dog Scuba to Singapore, he had to be put into quarantine for 30 days to check to see if he
that.
Had rabies.
Yeah.
Now, this is a dog who had always had rabies shots and all that, you know, living in the U.S., all the paperwork. But they don't want to take any risks, right? So he was put into quarantine for 30 days.
Right.
And obviously, no rabies. I visited him every day because I was like, crazy psycho worried. But
well, and because you had just gotten one of those scammy notes to have him be emotional support dog and come on the plane with you.
So he sat in business class with me. So, yeah.
Because he was your emotional support dog.
Exactly. Uh-huh. Well, he kind of was. Sort of.
Comes in handy to have your daddy be a psychiatrist, doesn't it?
Yeah. Oh, dear.
Yeah, he wrote the letter for me. He loved his grand dog. What am I going to say?
All right. By the way, May's new, fabulous new organization is?
Broads and Dogs. It's Broads and then apostrophe N Dogs on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. It's for women like us. Steph, who are crazy about
dog whores.
Yeah, dog whores.
Right.
Come together, share stories, you know, ideas, and also hopefully get together at some point and start giving back. So that's the whole idea.
Oh, my God. Fabulous. All right, and we'll put a link up on our Facebook page as well. All right, 19 minutes after the hour, we roll along on Whore Fridays with journalist May Lee on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Like being stung by a bee or getting a splinter or being chained to a wall in someone's sex dungeon.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. I want to do bad things with you.
Oh, yeah.
The dog was lying in the doorway, couldn't close the door.
They are the 800-pound gorillas. They lie where they want. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number toll-free from anywhere. A little breaking news. Malala,
the Pakistani girl
who was shot by the Taliban, has won the Nobel Prize.
Yeah.
She deserves it beyond anyone I could possibly think of. Yeah. So I'm so happy to hear that. She's incredible. Yeah. What an incredible girl.
Yeah, she really is. You were saying, have you ever seen her speak? And I have. She's.
Oh, my God.
I mean, remember she was on Daily Show, and I thought Jon Stewart was going to cry.
He did.
He started crying. Yeah, he didn't know what to say because he was so astounded by, you know, her eloquence, her knowledge, you know. And the fact that she was shot. She was, you know, she was supposed to die from this.
Yeah.
And she came back and, you know, is still wanting to help that country.
Right. We were saying there's
some. I love Harry.
I'm trying to speak very seriously, and Fred is just
nudging
me.
Porn film. He's
I know. okay. Very cute.
So, what was I going to say? Oh, this was Chris and I had an informal suggestion this morning, because, you know, there's been a lot of dispute. Who do we arm in Syria, and who should we, Iraq, blah, 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 blah. We say arm anything with a vagina.
Yep.
Even the goats.
Yes.
Everywhere.
I think that's a brilliant idea.
Yeah.
Yep.
Just saying. Okay. Got a vagina? Here it is. Here's a gun. Rick in Delaware. Hello, Rick. Hello, Rick.
Go ahead.
Hey, this is my first time calling, so...
Okay, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, I would like to be the official progressive bus driver of Stephanie Miller Show.
All right, yay!
All right. Hello, Ralph Cramden. Hello.
To you. I want to quantify by saying that I was a history major in college.
Okay.
Okay, so I would like to address the right-wing hypocrite that you had on a couple callers ago.
Oh, the guy with John Finkelstein. Yes, that guy.
Yeah, that Christians have never killed in the name of religion, right? Okay, can we say Pizarro and the Incas?
There you go.
There you go. There you go. Well, that history degree was worth something then. Your parents were wrong. You can use that.
The Spanish conquistadors.
They were not nice people.
Yeah,
either.
they killed in order to conquistador.
in
order to do some conquisting.
Sure. I'm not sure that's properly conjugated, but okay. Kelly in West Virginia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with May. Hi, Kelly.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
You know, I know Ebola and ISIL and politics and all that stuff is really important, but there are gay people getting married all over the state.
In West Virginia. How about that?
Right, West Virginia.
God bless America, man.
Yep.
From late afternoon on, breaking news banners.
Yeah.
Showing gay couples coming out of courthouses, waving their licenses. A lesbian couple brought their preacher with them and got married right there on the news on the courthouse lawn.
Yeah, they were the first couple
in
West Virginia.
Yeah. And meanwhile, Ohio was looking across the border saying, "Hey, What do you guys got over there?
What have we got?
You got something before Ohio did.
Oh, speaking of which, we teased last week and did not deliver.
What?
May Lee from Ohio.
Yes.
Speaking of straight family values, you knew a little something about John Boehner.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, we teased that and never
and we never delivered.
Really?
You teased it? Because we're old. Because we're
old. Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, every time I see John Boehner, I can only think of one thing, which is what I know. When I was a reporter anchor in Ohio, he was boinking one of our reporters.
Oh! Was he married?
Is he going to come after me
was
now?
He married?
Breaking news.
Yes, he was.
Oh, dear.
Of course he was.
May Lee just broke a little news.
I know, and I'm probably going to now get, like, assassinated or something, so I better watch my back.
We'll know if there's orange fingerprints on you. We'll know where
I know, I'm telling
if someone
you. But, yeah, no,
looks
I
like
knew.
They've been eating Cheetos all day. If there's around your neck, there are orange fingerprints.
You'll know what happened to me. You
listen
will know.
To me, Boehner.
Yeah.
We see you.
You better not come after me, dude. Seriously. Because,
Wow,
yeah.
He's a little horn dog, huh?
I did know this. I've known this all along, you know, all these years, and I'm like, so every time I see him, all I think about is that reporter and him and
how he
would come over and in the middle of the night with his Secret Service guy. I mean, seriously, it was, she would tell me,
because
she was kind of a whore, too, so.
Oh, my God, we got to hear more about this 29 minutes after the hour. Yeah. Oh, my God, so exciting. May Lee on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Guilty pleasure.
Stephanie Miller.
Hi, welcome back to Whore Talk.
Yeah.
Really got worse during the commercial break.
Oh,
wow,
boy.
Wow,
yeah.
Wow.
It always
wow.
does.
Well, once we get gossipy, my goodness.
I know, now
so
I'm scared.
Revealed.
Now I'm scared.
All right, let's pretend it didn't happen.
Well, too late now. Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. Just saying.
I'm just saying what I know.
Okay.
You know, and I'm a reporter, so I know.
Okay.
Those are the facts.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Just the facts.
Right. Okay. 34 minutes after the hour. Hello, John Boehner's office. Just send those cards and letters right to May Lee. Jason in D.C. You're on with
Or you
May.
Can tweet her at May Lee Asia.
Nice. Oh, God.
By the way, can I have some teachable moment music? Speaking of Twitter, we must have a teachable moment.
Oh, yes.
Starring May Lee.
Yes.
Yes. I am owed an apology.
I felt horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I agree.
Do it. I didn't. Okay.
The listeners got a little overzealous.
Okay, here's the thing. Because May and I are so comfortable with each other, we call each other whores and things like that.
Right.
I think the listeners, because we're all family here, a dysfunctional little family, but still.
They feel a little familiar.
Yes.
A little, maybe too
familiar.
And so
some Twitterati got a little over the line with the May Lee jokes last week.
Right.
And
yes.
I didn't realize, I sort of just, I think I retweeted one
you
before,
did retweet
I, before I saw that you had said it was not funny. And I was like, oops.
Yeah. I immediately responded to the guy, said, sorry, I don't appreciate this one.
It was.
And guess what? Then he then tweeted back and said, oh, and then he said something else. I'm like, oh, my God, seriously?
It was specifically a short. They were short jokes.
They were short
which
jokes.
Which I've made with you before.
Yes.
And you make tall Sully jokes with me.
Yeah. But here's the thing. Okay, I'm just going to get serious for 1 second.
All right.
I have always been made fun of my race and my height
mm-hmm.
ever
right.
since I was a kid.
Right.
And so those are two things I think about. I'm like, listen, people, I can't change those two things.
Right.
It's not like I'm overweight or too thin or have zits. You know, those are things you can actually do something about. I cannot change the color of my skin. I cannot change my height. So I don't know why it's okay to make fun of that. That's
right.
what I don't understand.
Right.
It's like, yeah, maybe I'm being oversensitive at times, but it's like this is a lifetime
yeah.
I've dealt
right.
with.
Right.
So after a while, it gets a little tiring. And some people say to me, oh, it's just because you're so cute. I'm like, you know what, at 48,
that's a little patronizing.
At 48, I don't really want to be called cute either. So just people just understand where this is coming from.
Right.
I'm, you know, I love joking around just like,
right.
just like yeah. anybody else. But, you know, after all, I'm like, all right, enough. So that's it.
I believe that the joke was Maley is shorter than the fuse on Lindsey Graham's tampon.
That's
and
exactly
what I was trying
the one.
To explain yes. is that that was a separate joke. Who lit the fuse on Lindsey Graham's tampon on the show?
The right. Lindsey Graham part of that is funny.
Yes.
No, right. I'm sure separately it was right. funny, yeah. but then this guy then brought yeah. me into it, and then
and that was unnecessary.
And I was trying to explain to you that's been a joke that about Lindsey Graham, and
correct.
So yes, and I think I will say in my defense. Mostly, I think what we've joked about is the disparity in our heights because we co-hosted together.
Yes.
And so that was why I was always, I was actually self-conscious that I looked like Sully from, what movie am I talking about?
Monsters, Inc.
Monsters,
right,
Inc.
from
yeah.
Monsters,
and
Inc.
And you looked like Mike Wazowski.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Played by yeah. Billy Crystal.
Anyway. That's exactly right.
Anyway, but I totally get that. So we, because we're so comfortable with each other, it, you know, people are just like, oh, we can all join in the fun. And,
right.
And just saying, penalty box there, for that it, guy.
Yeah,
for that
there's
guy.
A line. And,
yeah.
yeah.
And you know me, I'm not, I'm too technologically impaired to know how to unretweet. I was like, oh, made it like it.
You can't.
You can't.
You can't.
Because, you know, I'm terrified of her.
You can delete yeah. the tweet, but it's out there.
I could
there.
Feel it. Yeah. She lives miles and miles away, and yeah. I could feel that look of disapproval.
That's right. That's
and I,
right.
I could hear the
and I did send you a text message saying, you know, this is not cool, and this is could be a teachable moment. You profusely apologized via text.
I did.
And then I didn't
I am
respond.
Terrified of you.
I didn't respond only because I was busy. It's not because
oh,
I was mad.
Yeah.
I know.
So I'm sure you
I've
were
been,
freaking out.
Yeah. Yes, now I've been obsessing, and then I thought maybe she's like, oh, maybe she's
I know,
mad at me.
That's what I was thinking.
You,
I was like, uh-oh.
You didn't see the little bubbles there. That means someone's typing. It's like, oh, God, what did I do? What?
Yes. So.
It was the normal horror salutation, so I thought everything was fine. Then I was like, uh-oh. Oh, no, trouble. There's trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, well, what was, is that the Rita Rudner joke when a guy says he's going to call you? He says, you know, it's like a week later, and she's like, you know how long that is in girl years? I know, just a friend not responding. I was like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Sand through the hourglass.
She's never going to come in and do the show
pages
again.
Pages on the but... calendar. The seasons are changing. Oh, no.
It's funny because I thought, I was thinking, oh, I bet she thinks that I'm really mad. Let's just keep it going.
Oh.
You are an evil whore. And
that
I mean that in a loving
smart.
Way. No, Trish and I are like that too. My other friend Trish, we're very oversensitive. It's like, why are you calling? Are you mad at me? And I'm like, why? No, why would I be mad? Because then you have time to make up reasons. Like,
yeah.
Oh, no.
Right. Oh my God, maybe that. Maybe this.
I admit I'm kind of that way with my partner, and he's like, stop it.
I'm fine.
Yeah, I'm fine.
I'm at the grocery store.
Yes.
We're all
I'm
insecure.
Busy.
We're
I'm at
all
work.
Insecure. Yep.
Oh, so it's not just a chick thing?
It's not
like,
just,
what
no.
you thinking? Why so distant? It's been an hour. Okay. You know who is fighting? Okay, so Maylee and I were having a fake fight because I didn't really know. Just because she was doing it on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Who's Gwyneth Paltrow and Martha Stewart, have you heard?
What are they fighting about? Oh.
Because
oh, they have similar, like, kind
yeah,
of
right.
website thing.
Lifestyle brands.
Yes.
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 Gwyneth announced she had hired Martha's former president and CEO to be CEO of Goop.
Oh. Goop is her lifestyle brand.
Right.
Is
yes.
it really
so,
doing that well?
I don't think so.
I didn't
so.
Think so.
It's a little pretentious.
Last okay. month, Martha Stewart.
Her stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
Last month, Martha Stewart, and she jammed up traffic on the West Side having the president out here yesterday.
That's why
in L.A.
That's why I don't go to the West Side.
I don't either. There's nothing worth crossing the 405 for.
No.
Ever.
I was there yesterday, and I saw all the cops, like, waiting.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah.
It's like that mountain lion I was seeing that apparently is in Griffith Park. Because he crossed the 5 to
yeah.
mate. I'm like, I wouldn't cross the 5 to mate. That's too much trouble.
Oh, my God.
It's okay. Perfectly people with him this.
Who's going to go to Glendale to mate?
To mate. Yeah, I mean. Cross the 5 at risk of death? I'm not exactly. I won't even go to the West.
Oh, my God.
I'm going past La Cienega. Are you kidding
Sorry,
me?
Everyone who lives across the
Yeah.
We apologize.
I don't really mean
But
it.
I'm not
Or who lives across America and has no idea
Yeah, exactly.
And very
yeah.
few of those people are interested with in mating with me anyway. So, okay. Anyway, back to the fight.
Okay, go ahead.
So, Martha Stewart last month suggested that Gwyneth should be quiet. Shh. Shut your big yapper. Gwyneth said she is psyched. She said she's psyched to fight Martha Stewart to the death. Stewart says is Paltrow needs to be quiet. She's a movie star. If she were confident in her acting, she wouldn't be trying to be Martha Stewart.
Oh.
Oh,
my
ow.
God.
Oh, dear. Kitty got claws.
Yeah. So Gwyneth said, if I'm really honest, I'm so psyched that she sees us as competition. I'm so psyched. I really am.
Psyched. Really.
Gawker says, she's so psyched, honestly, psyched to boil that bitch up with heirloom tomatoes, four garlic cloves, and one yellow onion sliced. Psyched to dice her up and toss her up with artichokes and quinoa rigatoni. Psyched to deep fry her and throw her on top of gluten-free waffles. Just all around super-duper psyched.
Wow, Gwyneth really talks like that, huh?
Girls, girls, don't fight. You're both pretentious.
Well, Martha Stewart, less so, I think.
Really?
Yeah. The stuff that she does is accessible.
I have stories about her, too.
Oh, you cannot drop that bomb and run.
Maylee has stories about everybody.
Oh, my gosh. There is a story that I heard that I just was dumbfounded by. Do you remember our floor director at Oxygen?
Yes.
I'm not going to mention her name because I don't want to get anyone in trouble because I'm just nice that way.
Yes.
But anyway, she...
I'm sure it's Googleable.
Well, anyway, she used to be the floor director for her Martha's show.
Oh, yes. I remember who you're talking about. Yes. Yes. Okay.
Yes. I love her.
Yes.
Anyway,
I know.
Anyway, so she said that they were shooting a Thanksgiving special of the show, and Martha, of course, had just, like, you know, cooked the spread, like turkeys and roast and chicken and just everything laid out. And, the crew was working overtime all day long to shoot the special. They're done. They haven't eaten. Everyone's hungry. Everyone's tired.
Right.
Martha doesn't offer the food to the crew. She calls over her dogs and starts giving the food to her dogs.
No.
Oh,
yes. No.
That's what this friend of our mutual friend.
Horror.
And she was there, so it's not like she was making it. I'm like, no, that didn't happen. No way. She's like, yes, it did.
Wow.
Yes. Now, that was a long time ago, so maybe she's changed her ways after jail and all that stuff, and she's sort of seen the light, but that was back then.
You know, we have to maybe get May some early cocktails when we come back. May's thoughts on Julie Chen and who else?
Oh, no. I'll really get assassinated
now. Wendy Deng.
I really love my life right now, so I'd really like to live for a little bit longer.
We have got to get her booked on the Happy Hour podcast. Look what she spills on the morning show.
I know. What's gotten into me? Yikes.
I'm a bad influence.
You are. You're terrible. Oh. Do a different story. Get me off this right now.
Fine. Oh, no.
Taylor Swift says dating is the last thing on her mind. Woo! To which a lot of guys that might have been the subject of her next song say.
Someone has put together a fake Boehner tabloid thing already.
Oh, God. Oh, God. I'm going to be in deep trouble, aren't I? Oh, great.
Oh, boy.
It's
going to be, it's going to, do you think he may serve you on orange paper?
Someone's created a hashtag, Boehner Bones Reporter.
Oh, my God.
All right, we'll forget this Taylor.
All he has to do is deny it.
By the way, you guys
whatever.
Think I'm needy? I've never bought a house next to someone I'm dating. Remember she bought a house next to the Kenny compound when she was dating?
Yeah, that was a little psycho.
Taylor Swift.
No, Taylor Swift, yeah. Right. I thought you were talking about
I was trying to get your attention back away from May's up and pending trouble.
Oh, God.
Oh, and also, this is not news to anyone. Justin Bieber remains a douche.
All right.
He threw a punch at a paparazzi in a pair. Just in case you woke up and said, but is Justin Bieber still a douche?
Yes, he is.
Send him back to Canada. Why don't we do that?
Deport him.
I think President Obama could deport him. Deport him.
Deport?
Deport. It's Friday.
Oh, my God. You godless communists. We do not believe that Justin Bieber should be deported. Okay, 45 minutes after the hour.
It's Friday.
Who knows what the remaining moments with May Lee contains?
I may not be alive.
What bon mots might fall from her lips?
Oh, jeez.
Or will she take a poison dart between the eyes? May's gone. Okay, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEP-1-2. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Now you're checking your Twitter feed.
Oh,
all
dear.
Right, 50.
Oh, dear, as my mother would say. I'm scared.
1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. I save all my Beyonce news for you because as someone that is such a Beyonce fan, you bought a ticket to a show in an entirely different city by accident. Because
I still
you
went,
are
though.
Mm-hmm. Old. Beyonce goes sightseeing in Paris in 6-inch heels and leather pants.
Oh.
Now that looks like a comfortable walking outfit, right?
Wow. But they are platforms, so they're a little bit more comfortable.
Hmm. Are they?
I'll never forget when you came in on your little platforms and almost toppled over. Well, you missed that step there.
Because I am old. You're right. Yeah, platforms make them a little bit more comfortable, believe it or not. But those are dang high.
I've never worn heels, so I have no idea how they work.
Yeah,
it looks like it would just make it more unstable.
Whatever you do, do not make any jokes about those shoes and Maylee's height. All right. Have we not learned from our teachable moment, people?
Yes, right. Right.
Okay, some tourists might offer sneakers and family packs, fanny packs when sightseeing, but not Beyonce. She's Beyonce. Why would she? Right? She's not going to wear a fanny pack. What are you, crazy? They were heading to the Louvre, as you do, in Paris.
Mm-hmm.
That is her Louvre outfit.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Okay.
She can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. By the way, with their 6-year-old, Blue Ivy?
Yeah.
Very fine. Appreciate that. That's the first thing they want to do. Can we go to the Louvre?
Is she six? No, she's not six.
No, she's not that old.
Is there still a Euro Disney or no?
Yeah, there is.
Oh, okay.
It's called Disneyland Paris.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm guessing she wanted to go there, but
they wanted to go to the Louvre.
Right. Exactly.
Got to start them early with culture.
All right. Jason in D.C., sorry. May threw us off with some bombshell or something. Mm-hmm. Hello. Hi, Jason.
Hey. You know, people talk about there being no difference between the parties and everybody. You know, all I know is that both parties basically put special privileges and benefits on whatever group they decide. So I'm sitting here, and I'm still wondering who's going to prosecute Wall Street after billions of dollars in fines. I'm still wondering Big Pharma. Glaxo got fined $3 billion.
It ain't going to be the libertarians that do that because they have no power.
Bam! Bam!
Ow, ow, my back.
Oh, sorry about that. Sorry, old man. Sorry, Grandpa.
Sorry.
Sorry, I just need
That's the same guy. It's the guy that tried to shoehorn his libertarian commercial into the show earlier this week.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. What I like best was that evil little laugh.
What, my evil little laugh?
No, I had the same conversation. I was on Governor Jesse Ventura's podcast this week, and it's, you know, it's that same, well, Stephanie, why don't you understand both parties are the same? And it's like,
did Tom Brokaw call
elect
in?
A third party? It's okay.
Did Tom Brokaw call in?
Oh, bitch! Extra bitch points. Okay. All right, Michelle in Pittsburgh, you're on with May. I mean, May. Hello,
hi,
Michelle.
Everybody.
Hi.
May, I just wanted to know if your friend ever told you if Boner's entire body was orange.
All right. You know what? Let's just move on.
I know nothing. I say nothing.
I have said that before because I remember with the Anthony Weiner scandal when he was sending the pics. I'm just saying, were there women around the country going, who sent me a picture of a Cheeto? Tiny Cheeto.
You'd have to wash the bed sheets because they'd be all orange. They'd have, like, orange
smudges. Right, and
can
you tell which women were with him because they had, like, they've been eating Cheetos all day? I'm sorry.
Yeah, like Cheeto powder
or
on their
fingers. If they interviewed him, would they have it around their mouth a little bit? Like, what?
Oh, God, stop, please. Just
Laura,
what's next?
Albuquerque.
Move on.
Next. Laura in Albuquerque's next. Hi, Laura.
Hi.
Hi.
How you doing today?
Good. Go ahead.
I would like to follow up on the comment that you made or the discussion you had there with Stephanie back and forth about your height and your race being inappropriate. I think that any attribute of birth, whether it be whether your parents are married or not, what country you were born in, what race you are, what sex you are, all of those things should be off the table when people shouldn't be given credit for them and people shouldn't be demeaned because of them.
Right. Well, that's what she's saying, things that you can't change. Or,
Right.
Right.
Yeah, no, totally agree with that. And I think that's why I had to make that point, because these are things that people do harp on. You know, and it's just like, wow, why do we bully people in that manner, you know, when this is how we were born? You know, there's nothing we can do.
Right.
Nothing.
Yeah. Like, for instance, Chris grew up was a Husky boy.
Here we go.
I shopped in the Husky section of Sears.
Tell May the story.
Oh, we were shopping for school clothes at Sears.
Uh-huh.
And I remember the sales lady turning to my mother and whispering in her ear, I think we're going to have to go to the husky section. And there was so much shame in her voice that I didn't know what that meant,
right.
But I knew it was bad.
Aww.
So you have to be gentle with Chris. You can't mention when he wore corduroys there were sparks and smokes and flame coming out from between his thighs. You can't say stuff like that because he's sensitive.
Yeah. See? Look.
Yeah. You know,
see?
Yeah.
I can see
look,
it.
Look, he changed it. Look at him as if he's a fine specimen of a man now.
Yes, he sure did. But
despite
you know.
Of that or because
still,
of that, I don't know.
See? I bet, you should thank that sales lady.
But I bet it brings up, like, you know, memories
yeah.
that aren't pleasant.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. I was a fat kid until probably 7th grade, 8th grade.
And why do people think that you can't hear really loud whispers? That's the other thing.
I know, right?
All right.
Yeah, it was just the shame in her. I think we're going to have to go to the husky section.
Oh, dear.
Mm-hmm.
Sad head shake. It's kind of like whenever Ted Cruz talks about America. I'm just sad.
Sad.
I'm not angry at the president. I'm just sad. Okay, speaking of, because obviously a big week for marriage equality.
Yes.
So I like to do, you know, straight family value stack, as May has mentioned a couple of stories this morning. Drunk stripper attacks man with an axe.
As you do.
As you do.
Oh, yes. Okay. Wow.
No! Bring me the axe!
Yes. Where? Where do you think this took place?
Florida.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yes. Daytona Beach. Police say a drunken strip club dancer attacked her boyfriend with an axe when she became angry that he wouldn't talk to her. That's a that's a forceful way of saying
wow.
Why so distant?
Mm. I'm distant so that I can't be chopped up with an axe.
Now he'll tell you what, what he's thinking about. Okay.
That's like what they do in Hong Kong, though.
Excuse me?
It's not axes, but they're huge butcher knives.
Oh.
Yeah. So you get chopped. That's what they call it. So whenever you read the paper or see the news, they're like, oh, another chopping in Central today or in Hong Kong. Yeah.
So. You mean domestic violence related?
Or any kind of violence, because there's no guns.
Right, I see.
Yeah, so it's chopping was the favored, you know, tool in terms of violence, yeah.
Wow.
Not pleasant.
Wow.
No.
Not really.
No.
May, tell us again about your dog organization.
It's called...
On that note.
Yes, on a lighter note. Broads and Dogs is Broads and then apostrophe N Dogs. Go to Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and it's an organization for women and guys, actually. Guys have liked the page, too, which is great.
She's doing great work in the world. She is smart.
She
is beautiful. Small.
And we have a link to it at Stephanie Miller's Facebook page.
However you are and always will remain a whore, but let me just say a whore of exactly the right height.
Oh, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And people tweeting me, stop tweeting me about the whole Boehner story.
It didn't happen, everybody.
Didn't happen.
What happens on Friday stays on Friday.
Yeah, exactly.
On Whore Friday. See you Monday.
Bye.